Alex Jones Network is tomorrow's news today.
Professor Zhang Zhui Jin is going to be joining us live in studio in 1 hour.
From the front lines of the information war,
it's going to be massive.
It's Alex Jones at alexjoneslive.com. You are the Paul Revere's. Share the links and spread the word. We've only just begun to fight.
Joining us for 2 hours in studio coming up in 1 hour from now in the second and third hour. Then I'll continue on into the fourth hour today. Thank you for joining us on this live Monday, the 28th day of August, 2026. For TV viewers, radio listeners, I'll just describe this. Look at my desk. Every one of these articles and stories and developments is beyond bombshell. Just one of the stacks with Israel now hitting Turkish targets in Syria again, the two countries threatening to go to war, just this stack you could do 4 hours on. And the chain reaction situation that that could potentially cause. And then you tie that into everything else. It is just unbelievably wild. Let's look at the top headline on Drudge. Canada threatens electricity cut to U.S. trade war spirals. I said trade war goes nuclear. I mean, that is massive. Both sides putting 50% tariffs on each other. And it'll absolutely destroy Canada, but it will also hurt the United States in a chain reaction. It only takes a few percentage points of our economy getting hit at this point to send us into default. We're already basically there. And that's why the globalists are so happy. This is all by design on this live emergency Monday transmission. Canada threatens to cut electricity. U.S.'s trade war goes nuclear. Experts warn U.S. facing 1917-style Bolshevik revolution. Bessent triggers nightmare economic scenario. Israel-Turkey on brink of war. Professor Zhuang joins Jones in studio. It's all coming up today. Looking forward. This guy's really smart, made a lot of accurate predictions. I want to get the Chinese perspective on things. I disagree with him on some things, but definitely go to Real Alex Jones on X and share the live feed today at Real Alex Jones on X and at AJN Live on X. Be sure and follow us there and on rumble.com/ The Alex Jones Show Live. And of course, our main news site, alexjoneslive.com. So important. That's how we reach new people. This is an information war. Now, let me tell you what else we got here today, and I'm going to have to move quick because there is a lot of it. We have all the economic news that ties together that we've been predicting that's happening exactly as we said, which even horrifies me more. I wish the economists we had on were wrong. I wish I was wrong. I mean, I hate being right. I am just... Because if you think COVID lockdowns were bad, if we have a full depression, it is going to be road warrior horrible. It's going to run from absolutely nightmare to apocalyptic. And that's what the Pentagon studies and war games show as well. I mean, it's just, I can, as a layperson that studies this, I can see the issue. So can you. What happens when 60-something million people that are on food stamps don't get them, or they don't buy what they used to? What happens when the electricity doesn't work? What happens when things break down? It's already happening. Record-level equipment failures in jets, attack helicopters, missile systems, rotting food being fed to the soldiers, sailors. Things are breaking down. College degrees don't get you a job. They'll even pay for the debt. It goes on and on. U.S. power grid at risk of 18-month blackout. Yeah, we're going to get to it all coming up.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with my decision, and that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this. But minbenzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search minbenzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776RX.health.
And it's time for humanity to stand up and say, I don't know what's going to happen at the end of this, but you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
The next chapter in the war for humanity's minds begins now at alexjoneslive.com.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
Zhang Shui-Ching, professor, very, very popular speaker, has been gracious enough to travel to Austin, Texas to be in studio with us. He'll be with us in the second and third hour, and we'll continue with news, calls, and analysis into the fourth hour on this live Monday, August 24th, 2026 transmission. Okay, everything we predicted, just as we predicted, is happening. There's a spectrum from bad to worse, but that's where we're headed, and it's trending towards the worse. And I'm not being a black pillar. I'm not being negative. I have a responsibility to report the facts here to you. I don't think any of you can disagree with what I'm saying, but it is absolutely wild what we're dealing with here. We have the Islamists all over the Western world, including in America, just acting out, planting their flag, exercising their authority, pissing on us with territorialism, just massive stacks. We have the huge economic news. Obviously, Canada is now threatening to cut U.S. electricity. They're one of our biggest suppliers. We're already almost maxed out here in the summer. It would make the grid go down. U.S. power grid at risk of 18-month blackout. One city now in dark for more than a week. I mean, this is the type of stuff we're dealing with here. Unbelievably dangerous. Bessent could tap $1 trillion Treasury general account to fund bond buyback, sources say, in QE infinity. Bessent triggers the nightmare scenario for the bond market. Trump has now moved out of major globalist stocks into Berkshire Hathaway last week. Berkshire Hathaway is betting on total collapse. Starting to get a little bit of picture here, what's going on? How Trump's crypto push is linked to Bessent's Treasury move, what was predicted 2 years ago before Trump even got elected by Dr. Kirk Elliott, is coming true. They're talking about using crypto to prop up the dollar and gold, and revaluing gold, which is a good move. Trump's got a few tricks up his sleeve. I wouldn't count him out yet, but this is reckless as hell with the Strait of Hormuz. They've been saying the Strait of Hormuz is open, but all the major international groups that track it say it doesn't look like it is. The Fed owns over 50% of all U.S. bonds maturing between 10 and 15 years from now. When your own country's buying your own bonds, you know you're in trouble. The question is, did Canada just start and just sign its own economic death warrant? Yeah, Canada, under Mark Carney, the former head of the British Central Bank, the U.K. Central Bank, will absolutely devastate Canada, what he's doing. But it's like a kamikaze in World War II flying into the deck of an aircraft carrier while we're loading bombs on our planes. It'll blow our whole aircraft carrier up. So, yeah, it'll destroy Canada, but it'll really wreck us and maybe even bring us down. Because at this point, even just a few percentage points on the scale against us will get our credit rating lowered. That's what we've been positioned for now at $40 trillion plus in debt and growing. And I've got examples about the globalists are positioning us for collapse. Trump was making all the right moves until about a year ago against that. Now he's making the wrong moves. Turkey and Israel on brink of military clash after Netanyahu orders strikes on Syrian air bases again. Iran says they're not in negotiations with Trump. The strait is basically closed. A few ships are getting through. They're saying they're preparing to start hitting more ships that even get near the area. That will definitely fully close it. what will Trump do in response to that? Because the mullahs are being belligerent. Damn them. I'm not glad Trump made the wrong move going in there. It doesn't mean I support the mullahs. That's why we didn't want to go into this situation. If Trump would just do this, and he was seen at the big NDDC 500 with the new attorney general hanging out, they just indict somebody like Ilhan Omar or Fauci, that might actually win the midterms. We want to see some action on that. As mad as I am at the Republicans, I don't want to see them lose the midterms. Trump confirms ICE enforcement proceedings underway against Ilhan Omar over immigration fraud, marrying her brother, all the rest of it. Yes, deport her. My God. Holy mackerel. Also good news Trump's been doing. For decades, the United States ignored Latin America. All that changed under Trump's leadership. Basically, almost all of Latin America, other than Brazil, is going conservative, nationalist, populist, led by El Salvador and Bukele. And people are tuning in. They're going, wait a minute. You're praising Trump? You're criticizing Trump? I'm calling balls and strikes. I will not get Trump derangement syndrome. I will not do like so many of my colleagues who I respect who are take it personal, him attacking him, and just all day attack Trump, nothing but Trump, and then hang out and praise the Democrats. I don't like being lumped in with that. That's not who I am. The neocons do that. They want to cut Trump off from his base. They want to trick him and others to attack us and have us be foolish and then not be fair about our criticism. Because that then fractures the base, which is the Republican populist base. The Republicans are far from perfect, but they're the best house in a bad neighborhood going into the midterms and after with the Democrat Socialists of America, who are really communists, and everything they've got planned. So just remember who is on the other side of this. Trump is going to be gone in 2 years. We made some major gains under him. I'm proud I supported him. In the last 9 of the 10 years I've been supporting him, it was amazing. There were mistakes made, but he was not insider trading. He was fighting the globalists. They were genuinely coming after him. They genuinely came after me. They genuinely tried to get me to sell out to him and turn against him. I didn't do it. But when he turned against a lot of his values, I had to start criticizing. And then the neocons announced that I was totally against him with the Democrats. That's not true. That's how they try to divide and conquer. But we have a lot of information on that front we'll be getting to with Trump underwater in 47 states. Most of the internal polls, Republicans think they're going to lose the House for sure, probably the Senate. This is a serious situation. Fauci lawyers up, launching legal defense fund as investigations against him intensify. Attorney General Blanche calls Senate findings extraordinarily troubling. And that's another thing I'll get to later. My sources say they have the evidence to indict him and that all the behavior going on above them at the DOJ and the signals they've gotten is that he will be indicted as early as a month from now. Not saying he will be indicted. My sources are saying they hear that it's locked and loaded, they've got the goods, and that, and I was told this Saturday, that I got up today and saw Blanche saying, oh, very egregious, extraordinarily troubling. And so the finger's on the trigger for Fauci, who absolutely deserves it for lying about gain of function and all the rest of it. The reason I haven't thought they would indict him probably is because there's higher ups above him that'll get taken down by all of this. But definitely, if Trump wants to win the midterms, one of the biggest things is people want to see indictments of deep staters. Will Blanche do like they did with Comey and have weak indictments that get thrown out? I tend to think that's the way they have their cake and eat it, too. That way they indict him. It's a big score politically with everybody thinking there's action, and then it fails in a year or even sooner, and by then we're way past the midterms. That tends to be what we see, because Trump is behind the scenes demanding indictments and screaming at people. I've been hearing that for over a year, and it's come out in the news recently. I don't just believe the news. I already knew it and told you that. So I'll take what I can get on that front. Certainly not happy about the things Trump's done that are against what he originally said he would do and being tricked into this disastrous war. But I assure you that I've committed to myself, because in the future we'll be dealing with the Democrats, that I am not going to spend half my time on Trump. Most of my colleagues and people I respect spend 90% of their time bashing Trump and really nothing else. And that's fine. They can do that. They feel hurt. They feel betrayed. And the rest of it, they get big numbers off of that.
I want to save the country, and so I'm going to fairly look at what I judge to be the most important news, and I'm going to cover it. When Trump does bad stuff, I'm going to hit it. But I really prayed about it last night and this morning, and I'm going to focus on what we face with the Democrats and their system, because the crony capitalist insider scam laissez-faire system we've got is not true capitalism and has a lot of problems, and it's the same stuff Teddy Roosevelt dealt with and helped correct to a great extent, but it is light years better than what they call Democrat socialism. It's really just communism, Trojan horse. So the first thing I want to hit today before I get into all the details of these other developments, and Canada threatened to cut off our electricity and more, is this information that is dead on, an article by Ted Malik. Is it 1917 deja vu? We ignore the perils of 1917, the communist revolution in Russia at our peril. Another Russian revolution may be coming, and America must be ready. There's no doubt the Rothschilds, the globalists, that's their plan. The universities, the tax-free foundations are funding this as the answer. So there won't be a real revolution against the globalists in BlackRock. There will be a communist one, but administered by the globalists offshore. That'll be an incredible tyranny in the West, and then the raw resources will then continue to flow out to the globalists. That's their plan. So we know pressure from above, pressure from below. And the thing that makes this more possible than anything in all the major studies, there's a new one out right now. It's up on alexjoneslive.com, and it's originally from Zero Hedge. Family structure determines kids' success in school more than race or income, researchers say. Absolutely. It's nurture even above nature. And I want to give you some powerful examples of that and tie it in to what we're facing. So let's do that right now. Here's an excellent dramatization of Back to the Future. Be careful what you vote for. Watch and learn. And this is dead on, and this always happens because communism / socialism is not a failed system. It's designed at the end of serfdom, when in Russia and Europe, even in the 1870s and 80s, most people were slaves. They lived on the land. They had to buy from a company store. They would be put in prison and forced labor, even more hardcore slavery, if they didn't follow the orders. In Prussia, in the Austro-Hungarian Empire, had the best soldiers in the world. They wore nice uniforms and had their Hessian boots and had esprit de corps. And if they fought for 20 years in the military, they could be given freedom if they did an exemplary job, just like Roman gladiators. But they were so proud of their uniforms and everything and their medals that they would throw themselves on the bayonets, you know, famously defeating Napoleon at the Battle of Waterloo. And they fought us over here, tens of thousands of them in 1776. But the great news was, most of the Germans saw how good it was, and there were already so many Germans over here. They normally defected for little ladies, and upwards of half by the end of the war were defecting to George Washington. But the reason I illustrate that is that slavery, we only hear about black people, which is important and terrible, and you know the West basically ended it, England did, other than in African and Muslim areas where it still goes on. But literally, Marx and Engels got funded by the British government with their Das Kapital and Communist Manifesto as a way to get all these serfs that were being freed back into slavery. Oh, you'll be collective. You'll all share everything. But you'll have these bosses, these commissars above you that direct everything that are above the law. So this was designed from the beginning to enslave. And higher-level communist documents have leaked. They admit that. Look at China, where you got all these top generals that are billionaires and party members. Everybody else are, you know, little worker bees. So that's how it operates. So here's an excellent breakdown. Be careful what you vote for. Watch and learn. This just doesn't have the part about them putting you in ditches and shooting you in the back of the head. It's actually worse than this. And then this is a report posted by Wall Street Apes that perfectly explains capitalism versus socialism argument. Let's play those back to back. Here's those reports.
This video is going viral for all of the right reasons.
Housing is a human right.
People over profit.
Workers deserve more.
Defund the police.
Oh, I hate it here. Just literally get me to the future.
I'll take you. Let's go.
Seriously?
Buckle up and get ready to see the future you've been waiting for.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. Where are we?
Your hometown. in the future. Housing's guaranteed now. Everyone gets a home of their own.
Wait, everyone gets free housing from the government? Ooh, can mine be near the beach or have a pool?
Maybe, but probably not. Beach property is very rare, so you'll probably be assigned one of these.
Oh, but I don't want to live here.
Well, you don't have a choice. Can you believe it? The future finally has zero waste.
Incredible. Can I please have an iced oat milk latte? Did you bring your own mug? No mug, no service. Oh, okay. If I bring my own mug, can I get the oat milk latte? Oat milk latte? Oat milk is very wasteful. We only serve black coffee, nothing else.
Forget about the coffee shop. Wait till you see the government-run grocery stores.
Wait, you mean to tell me the government pays for my groceries now?
The future is bright.
This can't be right. $40 for eggs? The coupon is only for $100. I won't be able to afford groceries.
The future is also a little bit expensive.
Oh my gosh, someone called the police.
What do you mean, police? There's no police anymore. Have some compassion. She's probably having a hard time.
I think I have to get out of here.
No problem. It's a perfect time to show you the public transit. It's all free now.
Oh, that's good. Wait, why isn't anyone driving them?
Workers deserve more, so the drivers don't actually show up usually. But they're nice trains to hang out in.
I don't think I'm feeling so good.
You'll be happy to know that healthcare is totally free now for everyone.
Oh, thank goodness. Oh, you came at the right time. The wait for an appointment is only 72 days. Wait, are you serious? Well, if it's an emergency, it's only a 2-week wait. I need to go home. You need to take me home, please, right now.
But Maya, this is the future you wanted. Isn't it wonderful? Take me back!
Socialism is going to destroy our country if we let this ideology take any more hold of our young voters than it already has. Because the only way people will learn that it doesn't work, if we keep going this direction, is for them to experience what socialism results in. Poverty, tragedy, violence, starvation, etc. That is the only way people will learn unless we start educating folks on why socialism does not work.
So now, Colombia rejected a socialist, Peru rejected a socialist, El Salvador, Chile, Honduras, Ecuador, Bolivia, Argentina, all rejected Marxist or socialist leadership. And Venezuela was destroyed by socialism. Latin Americans are rejecting socialism after having tried it. So why are Americans accepting socialism having never tried it? Well, partially because most Americans don't know what socialism is. It's not healthcare for all or affordable housing. Socialism isn't a synonym for all the things I want, but I'm not getting in my capitalist country. It's not a vibe. It's an economic system characterized by collective or governmental ownership of the means of production. Means of production meaning infrastructure used to produce goods and services like factories, farms, and companies. Capitalism also isn't a vibe. It's not billionaires and corporations controlling politics. It's not a synonym for all the things I hate about my country. It's an economic system characterized by private or corporate ownership of capital goods, aka the means of production. Now, just like Mac versus Windows, there are different versions of capitalism and socialism. Finland, Norway, Denmark, and Sweden are less capitalistic than America, but they are still capitalist. Although they have a few exceptions to the rule, private companies own the means of production, not the government, in those countries. Now, you might like certain programs that socialism promises, like universal healthcare, but those programs aren't tied to a specific operating system. You can run Photoshop on Mac or Windows. Just like you can have universal healthcare in socialism or capitalism. But it seems we as a people keep getting more confused about what socialism is. In 1949, 34% of Americans correctly identified socialism as government ownership of the economy. By 2018, only 17% did. And I suspect it's even worse now. American politicians are confused too. In 2015, Denmark's prime minister had to correct Bernie Sanders and say, Denmark is far from a socialist planned economy. Denmark is a market economy. Zoran Mamdani is a democratic socialist. Democratic socialism is a version of socialism. Now, you could argue that socialism just hasn't been done right yet. And when every socialist experiment at the national level in the 20th century failed, and every experiment in the 21st century is failing, maybe the problem isn't that socialism hasn't worked in practice, it's that it almost certainly can't work in principle. And maybe the assertion that this time will be different isn't optimism, it's actually just unfalsifiability, where a theory cannot ever be contradicted by actual evidence. We have bugs in this version of capitalism that need to be fixed. Principally, that there is too much money in politics, that billions of dollars speak louder than millions of voices. And you know what? The socialists might create healthy pressure to fix those bugs. That's good. But that's different than changing the whole operating system. Sometimes the cure is worse than the disease. Because when there's never been a successful socialist country in history, and the countries who have actually experimented with it are abandoning it, the results start to speak for themselves. And lately, they're speaking Spanish.
What he said was basically perfect. It was a perfect comparison of the capitalism versus socialism dilemma that we have right now in America. A lot of people have no idea what socialism actually is, and there's been a lot of people who have gone out on the streets, they've interviewed people who claim to be socialists, and they ask them what they stand for, or they ask them kind of basic questions, and they'll answer in a capitalist answer, but they'll say that they support socialism. And they're always like the gotcha moments, but it's very funny, actually, and it's very obvious that these people are so uneducated that they are literally supporting what they do not want to live under. And here are some of the main agendas. These are the stated goals by the Democratic Socialists of America. The first thing they want to do is abolish the U.S. Senate. They want to replace the presidency and the Supreme Court. They want to abolish the police and our prison system, if you can believe it. They want to abolish ICE. They want to grant amnesty to all illegals, and they want to end visa restrictions. So again, this will be just a complete free-for-all for any and everyone to come here. There will never be another fair election again. Public ownership of the largest corporations, so they will absolutely seize the means of production. They will end all U.S. military and economic aid to Israel, establish a free Palestine with Jerusalem as the capital. Defund the U.S. military. I think this is a crazy one. You're going to go ahead and abolish our immigration enforcement, and then you're going to defund our military. So you're going to leave us wide open and have everyone flood in. End economic sanctions against Cuba, Venezuela, and Iran. And then you have things like the 32-hour work week, no loss of pay, free college, and cancel.
Go ahead and fade this out. So what this is designed to do is destroy the country and collapse it. And the communists always come into a country as socialist, and they put themselves in positions of power to get all the money from the programs that they put offshore. Then they implode the country. That's called Cloward and Piven. And then you don't get anything free. You get put in slave brigades, and they organize you into a huge military fascist force, and you invade the next neighbor. That's called the exploitation phase. This is an actual blueprint. Okay? The Pentagon used to teach it. They haven't for about 20 years. But it's official Russian-Soviet battle plans. Okay? By the way, the Russians have abandoned all that. We've now adopted it. Got a special guest coming up. Stay with us. I'll be right back. I'm Alex Jones. I want to make a massive announcement right now. And I'm so blown away by this. This is the most exciting thing, quote, supplement-wise, I've ever done in decades in my career, in my research. Okay? Now, decades ago, we looked at selling you methylene blue. The problem is you couldn't get pharmaceutical grade. It was something nobody knew about. Now, because the world's awakened to it, there's a bunch of pharmaceutical grade makers of it. My doctor's medical doctor at clinics all over the state said, you need to get on methylene blue. Told me how to buy it online. Said, be sure to get USP, which means pharmaceutical grade. I take it here and there. Feels like you're plugged into electricity. It gives you really clean energy. And I thought, yeah, this is great. You know, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is the HHS head. He talks about how great it is. He takes a whole bunch of it. So we've had the new methylene blue in, now available at thealexshowstore.com, for about a week. And I already had mine. And I'm like, yeah, I'm sure it's all USP. I'm sure it's great. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll remember to take, you know, mine, which is another brand my doctor recommended. And then yesterday at about 3 o'clock, I'm watching him shoot B-roll for our new methylene blue that's from one of the top makers in the United States that supplies the big box stores that have it and sell it for $10 more than we do. It's a big bottle, too. Ultra Methylene Blue, the highest grade strength USP. I take a dropper and put it in my iced tea. I drink it. And I'm not a placebo guy. I'm like, okay, I'm taking methylene blue before I figure out. The one my doctor told me to get, I'm sure. You know, sure, we'll see if it's as good. 15 minutes later, I feel my hair on my body standing up. And I feel actually an electric current through my fingers, in my hands, and running up my back. And I'll be honest, start itching. And I go take my shirt off and look in the mirror because I'm itching. And my skin wasn't like hives. It wasn't a rash. My skin turned red. Not bright red, but red. I already got, I tan easily. It's a little bit of Native American in me, so I've always got a little bit of a tan. Anyways, even if I'm not getting any sun, I'm still a little bit of a tan. But it was like, I was like glowing. I was like, what the? And Chase guy was like, yeah. And he looks like a mad scientist. So I've been taking a lot of it. His hair's on. And I'm like, okay. And then I swear on my children, okay? Do not take the full dose, because I drank half the glass, put it down, was busy, forgot to drink the rest, and didn't drink the other half. I was still sitting there this morning, because I'm sitting around here doing work when I drank it. And it's insane. So it would take hours to go into why it's so amazing. And later in the broadcast, I'll cover the big news. I'm gonna go over it, but it is just beyond spectacular. And by the way, we're gonna have one that comes out that isn't flavored. The guys thought it was great. It's all natural, organic. You know, it's just pure vanilla and mint from the mint plant, oil, essential oil in it. So it doesn't taste bad. It actually tastes good. This is the purest, strongest, and the only one out there that has natural, delicious flavoring in it. We got the best methylene blue, hands down. I was already told it was the top firm that supplies the medical centers. Where it's not prescription, but doctors everywhere have been telling people to get on it for years. And there was so many attacks and systems on it. We're a big target on it. But as soon as HHS came out, had endorsed it and all this stuff, and it's everywhere now, I'm like, okay, get us the best. And we got it. And boy, I tell you, if we can get enough of it, it's going to solve our issues. Funding, will it be able to expand? A third of what we got just sold out in the last hour. So I had a feeling about this because I told you what it did, and that's all true. So I've taken another methylene blue and it had a good effect. This other stuff that says it's USP, that means pharmaceutical grade, must not be. This is unbelievable. Get your Ultra Methylene Blue now at thealexjonesstore.com while you can.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, alexjoneslive.com is tomorrow's news today.
This is an emergency transmission from FEMA Region 6 in occupied North America.
There is a war. It's happening now. It will decide the fate of humanity. The time has come to choose sides. We are the resistance. Join us and share the links now at alexjoneslive.com.
Professor Zhong Shui Qin joins us coming up next hour live in studio for this live Monday emergency transmission. Please share the live feeds at Real Alex Jones on X at rumble.com/ The Alex Jones Show Live. Follow us at AJN Live on X as well. And of course, the mothership, alexjoneslive.com, with all the audio, video feeds, live feeds, special reports. It's all there. But I just want to fundamentally cover bad stuff Trump's doing, cover good stuff he's doing, look at all the other countries, all the other pieces, all the other power blocks, but also get back to the Democrat Socialist America funded by BlackRock, the globalists, the big universities that want you to think communism and socialism is the answer to the crises we're in, and that's when they really get us with the central bank digital currencies, the social credit score, and a new level of high-tech communism known as the Mark of the Beast. So we just looked at some examples of what communism and socialism really deliver. But here's a microcosm in the Cloward and Piven collapse phase before the exploitation phase.
of the blue cities, not just here, but in Europe and the European countries that are blue, if you call them communist or socialist or Democrat, basically same policies, whether it's a Labour Party in the UK, you name it, it's the same system, the same methodology, the same plan. They ramp up taxes, but then adulterate all the services. All the services bring all this control. The services are designed to shut down mom and pops and even middle-sized companies and only allow mega corporations to operate who are basically orchestrating all of this. And then you see the areas that the communists and socialists control, like the blue cities, where they let the murderers out of jail, the rapists, where they fund the homeless to lay around and take drugs all day. It's designed to demoralize and collapse society. That's in the Cloward and Piven collapse phase. So here's a lady who was formerly a Democrat in Austin, Texas, and I can tell you, I live here. The city just 8 years ago was beautiful, almost no crime, and now it looks like a third-world bomb hit us. Crime's insane. It's just totally disgusting. This is by design. Then I'm going to look at the type of administrators they put in Europe and the United States who are totally entitled from the highest levels to the lowest levels, robbing everything blind. And then, so we're going to play her, and we're going to go right into this latest video today. Harris County, that's down in Houston, treasurer says she will not be disrespected and asked that her salary be more than doubled from $140,000 to $305,000. And under that, she's paid more than the governor. And look at her entitlement. That dovetails with this lady just outside Austin. Audit revealing millions missing sparks heated Elgin City Council argument. This is a small town outside Austin. And they said, hey, we're women, we're minorities, we're not accountants, and laugh about the missing money. But it's not that they're black, I'm singling them out. These are just two cases in Texas. You've got the head of the unelected EU commission, you know, stealing billions, and they're just like, oh, so what? That's just the way it is. It's all in your face. And then we'll talk about solutions to this and the reality of what we're facing after we play these clips back to back. Here they are.
This is Texas. This is not Minnesota, and it's not California. And it's time for Austin to turn red. I'm coming from the perspective as someone who used to be a Democrat and then became a Republican during the last election. But I was also born and raised here in Austin, Texas. So I got some skin in this game. And I'm not just going to tell you it needs to turn red. I'm going to show you why it is so desperately needed. Come with me. I refuse to sit back and watch Austin turn into Los Angeles.
If you look at this video, it's almost as if something sinister has happened. I mean, look at the sidewalks, look at the graffiti. You know, this is not something anybody wants to be walking past or even driving past, but look what's happened to a major city in America. And you know what it reminds me of? It looks just like California. I mean, California is worse, but I mean, this is pretty bad. Just people lounging, doing nothing all day. Most likely just collecting benefits, but what is going on here? If we look at the comments, it looks like Texas don't claim Austin anymore. It's sad, but it's true. I agree. I moved here from California, and Austin reminds me of the reasons why we left California. Vote red. People want to vote red. Vote red. I'll never understand why people keep screaming to turn Texas blue. Because if you turn Texas blue, this is what you get. You get this kind of California-esque hellscape of just like zombies walking around littering graffiti. And I mean, nobody would ever want to walk down this sidewalk. I mean, it really is just kind of gross. So what exactly has happened here? If we look at the demographics, it looks like non-Hispanic white is about 47%. And look at the Hispanic population. So it's at 32%. So one out of every three people is now Mexican in Austin. So it seems like that has been rising. And that's kind of what happened to Los Angeles and California in general. White population declined. Mexicans just exploded. And now you kind of just have this like food vendors on every sidewalk. Everything just kind of starts looking like a slum. I mean, there might be some correlation with the demographic shift and then what you get here.
Asking for an increase of my salary to $305, just like the other countywide elected officials.
That's Harris County Treasurer Dr. Carla Wyatt, who's had some legal troubles of her own. Today, she asked a 9-member citizen committee to more than double her current salary of about $140,000. Jaywan here with KPRC. Now that $305,000 isn't some random number. Under Harris County's proposed budget, most other countywide elected officials, including all 8 constables, would make $305,000 a year. That's more than the salary of the Texas governor or the U.S. vice president. Wyatt was left out, though, which is why she filed a grievance.
Don't intend to be disrespected.
The county officials say commissioners have been reducing the responsibilities of her office and trying to remove her position altogether. In the end, the citizen committee voted 6-3 to raise her salary by 30%, but the commissioners don't have to take any action. Now, it's important to note, these are taxpayer-funded salaries, and this is all happening while Harris County is trying to close a $181 million budget shortfall. Under the proposed budget, the county estimates the average homeowner could see a 12% increase in property tax. Now, it's important to note, these salary raises are not what's causing the potential tax increase. We're talking about a multi-billion dollar proposed county budget. But the salaries are paid with public money, which is why taxpayers are questioning the priority.
Increasing salaries just for the sake of pay parity for anyone is a ridiculous justification.
And Wyatt's record in office is also part of the debate. Earlier this year, county auditors had flagged 2 fraudulent checks her office had reportedly processed. So commissioners later moved the fraud prevention function to the Office of Management and Budget. And they're seeking action from the Texas legislature to abolish her position altogether. If that process moves forward, voters would have the ultimate say on whether the treasurer's office should stay or go. Wyatt is also facing a pending DWI charge in Galveston County. That was her 3rd arrest since being elected in office. Wyatt is also running for re-election in November.
Harris County elected officials have already forced this through their increase in their salary. Take a look at this, and it's more than just who they're talking about in this video. The salary increases to $305,000 per year for countywide elected officials, including 8 constables, county attorneys, district attorneys, county clerks, district clerks, and tax assessor collectors were approved by the commissioner's court. So this has already been approved and locked in. They're going to want to pay everyone $305,000 per year from the American taxpayer. And that is wild. And this treasurer is upset because she wasn't included in that. So she wants to put her salary up to $305,000 a year. That didn't go through, but she did get an increase to, I think, around $180,000 a year.
All right, so let's stop right there. It goes on and on. And again, I'm just giving you local cases in Texas, okay? And there's new ones all the time. In California, they have city managers being paid like $800,000 a year, some of them. On average, it's $400,000, even for small towns. But if you don't pay your property taxes, they'll take your home. If you don't pay your state income taxes, they take your home. So $10 million comes up missing in a little town outside Austin. I mean, until a few years ago, it was literally like 2 gas stations. Now it's a little bit bigger, but it's built up some. But imagine $10 million is missing. And listen to the arrogance in Elgin of these people. Here it is.
So I think that what we can conclude for this, because we can go through this back and forth all night long, we can't do and go back and find, because we don't have the people to ask. We don't have a clue of how it was done. We don't have a track of how it was done. Going back will never get you anywhere if you're going backwards. But you need to figure out what we're going to do going forward and make for sure that what we think may have happened, and yes, what we think may have happened, because I wasn't there. I'm not a finance person. Pam was not there. She's not a finance person per se. And so we have people that, unfortunately, we did the best that we could possibly do at the time. Yes, ma'am. Okay?
No one ever takes responsibility in the leftist system, especially women. Lindsay Clancy murders her three children. Thousands of crazy white women come out and support her. No pens are worn at the courthouse for the three murdered children. A bunch of women copycat and murder their children, slit their throats, strangle them, burn them, you name it. Are you getting where this is going? So Tucker's right to blame deindustrialization, offshoring of jobs, and all the rest of it, and Republican corruption going along with this. But at the same time, we got to remember who's running the blue cities and towns. And you know, when you're in a blue city, it is robbery, it is mass theft, it is crime, it is homelessness, it is Soros, DAs, and judges. You go to a Republican town, beautiful, nice, comparatively. So just remember who the Democrats are. It's the same crap in UK, same thing in Germany, same thing in Italy, same thing in France, same thing in the Netherlands, same thing. So again, every day, I'm going to focus on these people most of the time because they're in place. They're not going to be gone when Trump leaves in 2 years. Because I'm not criticizing people that are mad at Trump, but I've been studying it, and it really has gotten wild-eyed, and the criticism are almost all warranted. But what are we doing spending 95% of our time on Trump? I get it. He's doing big, disastrous things we've got to change. But at the end of the day, who got rid of men in the family by design with their own sociology systems, knowing it would destroy everybody? The Democrat Party. Who brought communism in this country? The Democratic Party. The Republicans have been willing accomplices for a long time. We have a beachhead with our movement. We're starting to take it over. Big article at Zero Hedge. It's also at alexjoneslive.com. Family structure determines kids' success in school more than race, income, researchers say. Major study after major study, Epoch Times, you name it. And we know this, and it's true. And my dad, growing up in Texas and born here, could not believe during Jim Crow that the black people had hotels as nicer, their own restaurants, their own banks. They all basically wore, you know, when they were out, suits and ties. They had a lower illegitimacy rate, meaning lower kids out of wedlock. And within one generation of paying women not to have men in the house, they went. Kids are 4 or 5 times likely to end up in prison on drugs. Doesn't matter if you're black or white or Asian or what. Doesn't matter. You don't have a dad in the house, even a dad that's not perfect, even a dad that's not good, it just disintegrates. And that was done by design. That's the transgenderism. You got this former basketball player, Eanes Canner, wore a shirt saying a woman is an adult human female. For that thought crime in the United States of America, the NBA had him thrown out. That's a cult. That's brainwashing. Here's an excellent breakdown that's totally historically accurate. They don't want you focusing on how the civil rights era broke the indigenous family. We never needed integration. They did. It's not saying that Jim Crow was good. They replaced it with something scientifically designed to destroy the black community, and it's been used as a model now against everybody else, and you see the same destruction happening now. Here's the report.
Charlie Kirk said that in the 40s and the 50s, black Americans were some of the most peaceful, loving, and successful people in America. Our success rates were even exceeding white folks at the time.
That is an inherent trait to the race.
No, I don't. Because they weren't that way in the 1940s and 50s. Black America was one of the most peaceful, flourishing, fastest growing economically communities in the country. It's not genetic. You're trying to point something on me that I don't believe. In the 1940s and 1950s, black America was prosperous and was on pace to be richer and wealthier than white America. More dads were staying with the women that they were with. There was monogamy. What changed?
You're supporting my argument.
No, hold on. But what? Answer the question. What changed? Did America get more racist since the 1950s?
I would argue there were more racist policies passed. There were more policies dedicated to white and office communities and pushing them into poor housing and poor schools.
Wait a second. In the 1950s, Jackie Robinson had not even broken the color barrier. We had Jim Crow laws. We hadn't passed the Civil Rights Act, and we hadn't passed the Voting Rights Act. Yet blacks were better in the 1950s per capita than they are today. So we have become less racist. We've passed more anti-racist laws and given more stuff, and blacks are worse than they were 70 years ago.
Yeah.
Why?
I'll answer that for you. In the 1960s, black Americans followed Martin Luther King into the Democratic Party, the same party that was responsible for all of the horror and terror black folks faced in America up until that point. Yes, you did know the Democratic Party was indeed the party of slavery, right? So we were set free from democratic slavery thanks to Republicans who went to war for us in the Civil War to set us free, only to be recaptured by the Democratic Party in the 1960s. But this time, we weren't slaves to physical chains, we were voting slaves, mental slaves to the Democratic Party. This party literally broke the black community. And what I mean by broke is Lyndon B. Johnson passed the Man in the House Act. What this basically said was all black families receiving federal assistance and aid would be cut off if there was a male living in the household. So basically, black fathers could not live in the household with black families or they would be cut off from federal assistance. This incentivized black mothers to remove black fathers from the house in order to receive federal funding. And complete devastation and destruction followed in the black community. Yes, we went from two-parent homes in the black community upwards of 80% in the 1940s to having less than 20% of both parents in the black household. So his strategy worked. This broke the black family, resulting in poverty and dysfunction for generations, rendering the black community dependent and reliant on the Democratic Party for their survival, locking in and guaranteeing their votes for generations. Like Lyndon B. Johnson said, I'll have these N-words voting Democrat for 200 years. And by God, his strategy worked, and he was right. Because look where we are today. We've been aligned with the Democratic Party for the last 60 years, and conditions in our community have only gotten worse. They have not gotten better. Because that was the purpose. That was the design. I talk about this in much more detail and many other things in my best-selling book, How the Democrats Won the Blacks, From Physical to Mental Slavery. In this book, I give the true origins of both political parties and reveal the real events that took place that caused black Americans to realign from the Republican Party to the Democratic Party, all backed up by historical documentation and government reports. If you want the real history you were not taught in school, my book is available now for order. You can find the link in my bio or just comment the word book and I'll send the link right to your DM.
By the way, that young man is not a sponsor, but I wanted to leave the part on there because I'm going to read his book. I already know it's everything he says is totally true. I've read all the documents. Everything he says is totally true. But that's communism for you. That's socialism. What they did to the black people, they've done now to everybody else. They were the test subjects. Now they've moved on. Everybody else having the exact same effect. And we shouldn't just sit here and take it. What they did to the blacks or anybody else, we got to stop it. We got to stop it right now. It's that simple. And when you support this broadcast, when you share the live feeds at Relog Jones right now, when you share the articles and videos and the cuts we take out of the show, it changes the world. That's why the bad guys have fought like the devil to shut us down. And we need your support at the Alex Jones Network. We just had the big court victory last week. I got a bunch more that are about to come out. Stuff I can't announce yet. I want to. I will soon. But for strategic reasons, not doing it yet. You have bet on the winning horse in this fight going into this future. If you want to start if you want to stop the Democrat socialist, if you want to stop the globalist, we need to stay on air. Please keep spreading the word about the broadcast. Keep praying for us and support us at thealexjonesstore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a huge special going for only a few more days. Get a bottle of Ultra Methylene Blue, medical grade, cleans out your mitochondria, instant energy, no letdown, so good for your whole body, complete game changer. You've seen Robert F. Kennedy Jr. talk about it. We have the best, and get a free bottle of ultramethylene red capsules that we develop with scientists and researchers that supercharges methylene blue to the next level, but is great by itself and uses similar systems, but different techniques, basically, biologically. It's an amazing product. It's the true 1-2 punch of stacking. So get a bottle of ultramethylene blue, discounted already, get a bottle of methylene red absolutely free with it. We're about to end the deal where every order gets a free bottle of Shilajit gummies, Shilajit boost testosterone, full of all these natural peptides. That is an insane deal. One of the best deals we've ever offered at the AlexJonesStore.com. And that funds our operation, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, and so much more. We're about to end on Wednesday
the end of summer mega sale, 50% off methylene blue by itself, methylene red tincture, atomic defense, superfood green gummies, the very best concentrated, creatine powder, Shilajit gummies, turmeric gummies, ultimate chill, and so much more at thealexjonesstore.com. We have the America Only shirts, the 1776 designs, the Join or Die shirts, some of the best designs. We got the second tranche of the collectible fundraiser coin, 250th year anniversary, Sesquicentennial, Centennial, with the Jerusalem cross on one side, the bald eagle and American flag on the other. And this is critical fundraising coin for us in our operation, limited edition. The first half of them sold out. Took a few weeks to get the second half in. Minute in Missouri. The second half is there, selling out quickly. So if you want to really support us and have a memento of history and also a great gift, get that fundraiser, 250th year anniversary coin now at thealexjonesstore.com. And we also have the ready-to-mount gun magnet that takes any gun from a 44 Magnum that, you know, weighs 8 pounds down to the smallest handgun. It's instantly adjustable. It is a 9.52 rare earth magnet rated to hold up to 10 pounds. And it's for $19.95. These sell for all day for $50-$60. A normal retail, $29.95 at thealexjonesstore.com right now, $19.99. We are funded by you, not by the Israelis, not by the Russians, not by the Democrats, Republicans, the Chinese, the Mexicans, the Easter bunnies, none of it. We're funded by you with great products that really work. So get your gun magnet right now, ready to mount gun magnet at thealexjonesstore.com. And so many other amazing items are there as well. And then separately, people are really listening, and that's a great thing. They've launched the online pharmacy Bigley has at 1776rx.health. You've heard about minbenzidol and ivermectin. Ivermectin won a Nobel Prize for its incredible properties and what it does to parasites. So many people have parasites. Even RFK Jr. had a brain worm. This stuff is so important, but it's not just for parasites. Type in studies. What is minbenzidol associated with knocking out? What is ivermectin associated with knocking out up to 80%+? Ask that question. 80%+ study after study. Together, even more powerful. It is so important to do, in my view, this is my personal view, consult your physician, but when you go to the RX, that's through nurses, doctors, right there, consult them. I personally, twice a year, and I was told this years ago by medical doctors, didn't start doing it until about 2 years ago, wow. Twice a year, I take ivermectin and minbenzidol. When I got it from doctors, I had to get them separately. They're all together, even better, at 1776rx.health as a cleanse. It is powerful. It's something you really should do, in my opinion. And it funds the operation, 1776rx.health, a true win-win situation. You are insane if you don't research what minbenzidol and ivermectin are associated with knocking out, not just parasites, and looking into it for yourself. You can get it one time for that price or even lower if you get it as a subscription. Cancel anytime at thealexjonesstore.com for the methylene blue, free bottle of methylene red, but 1776rx.health for the minbenzidol ivermectin combo pack. Thank you all for your support. So many great things happening. We'll be right back with our number two and the professor I'll be talking to.
Jones is off the air.
There's a lot of noise right now.
Taking me off the air. It is beyond essential that you continue to spread the word about the broadcast.
That's usually when it matters most to have people in your corner who don't flinch. We've been a partner of this program for a long time.
I'm handing out ice water in the Sahara. The top rated, the biggest company, because they're the best, and he's a patriot.
We're not going anywhere, and that commitment runs to you. With us, it's 8% when you buy and 0% when you sell. And here's something else. After you make your first purchase and become a client, if you're holding metals you bought somewhere else, bring them to us. We'll help you liquidate them. No commission. That's not a promotion. That's just the way we do business. Give us a call, and we'll bend over backwards to help you.
Visit kepm.com/gold to get started. Or give us a call at 720-605-3900. And let us help you make room for what matters most.
I shall freeze his microphone, then freeze free speech itself. He will be on ice. I'm going to control the banks, the media, and the weather until the whole world is under my control.
The plan is perfect, indeed. Gotham will crumble, and we shall rule.
Joker, Penguin, freeze. Your master plan has one fatal flaw. Me. And I've already calculated every one of your next moves.
on the Bat Computer.
Holy globalist conspiracy, Batman! Let's go get them now!
You may have tied us up this time, King Crusaders, but you can't tie up our globalist agenda. We'll be back!
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
We came up with this idea that we should sue these folks in civil court to bankrupt them. Our hope is that by taking their money away, they can't function anymore.
And that was successful?
Yes, every single one of them has been successful.
Today, my understanding is today there was an arrest made, and there is a new indictment that includes the former CFO of SPLC.
The SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center, the organization that for more than 50 years has committed to fighting for social justice and against racism and against extremism and violence, has actually been funding that racism, that extremism, that civil injustice behind the scenes.
The chickens are coming home to roost on this, but there's reportedly new indictments. I've been talking to the FBI and others. I'll just leave it at that.
The ADL, SPLC, the propaganda arm, they work hand in fist with the CIA and with the FBI to demonize, target, marginalize, and then imprison people and debank them and everything else they do.
I want to start off with the FOIA request that we got earlier this year. Done by Chase Geyser, which details an investigation started against Alex Jones back in 2013 as being a white, racially motivated extremist. So this started in 2013, and it was ongoing where they had to approve it every 60 days. They would have to review it and go, okay, we're going to keep this going. So as far as we know, it's still ongoing. It's still on the books.
And we got the FOIA request that the Trump FBI gave to us, and yeah. Kyle Serafin, very famous FBI whistleblower who was in counterterrorism, looked at the codes on the documents. They're heavily redacted and blacked out. Right. And he said it was the Boston office. It happened right when Comey got appointed, 2013, under Obama, and was specifically running an espionage, counter-espionage operation against this, which is what they do when they try to do a dragnet to find some dirt, but can't do it inside of a regular criminal investigation.
The number of hate groups has been increasing pretty rapidly and frighteningly, really since 2000.
One people, one nation, and immigration.
White supremacists commit far more acts of domestic terrorism in the United States than radical Islamists, for example.
That demand for white supremacy vastly outstrips the actual supply for white supremacy. And because of that, they have to go to the well and they have to drum things up, create things up, and it turns out actually fund this thing. So they've been throwing money to the KKK, to neo-Nazis. They were going out there and trying to find out, can we get something to pretend like Alex Jones is worse than he really is?
So they got the Southern Poverty Law Center, who's been caught doing this before, to come in, get a few people from central casting, actors, and dress up, you know, like the white supremacists. Then they've got all the Antifa bust in by Soros and everybody. They're ready then, and the police cattle the normal conservatives, march them through, let them get beaten up for the psyop of the image of conservatives getting beat up and Antifa being victorious.
Haiti Bayrick, right? She was the one in charge of contacting the social media companies, Facebook, Twitter, Jack Dorsey, Mark Zuckerberg, and giving them the information on who to ban.
They want to ban us from public, and they want to put us in prison for our speech. I mean, that is totalitarian.
It is. And it always starts with speech. It always starts with the First Amendment and goes all the way through the spectrum. And then with her specifically, this is another Black Lives Matter banner that I don't even know what happened to it. This lady was their star witness for the Paul Weiss firm.
By the way, that's the group that's been quarterbacking the lawsuits against me.
Yes.
It's all the same coordinated group.
All of us, the Oath Keepers, everybody involved.
She was the woman indicted is the star witness on me, you, all of us. Just, yeah.
The judge defaulted you, basically keeping from the jury the fact that you had complied with discovery, that you had in fact participated in the civil justice system, but instead told the jury you'd been found liable for causing harm. And the result was this eye-popping verdict that was untethered to the facts of the case.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they've been working the PSYOP forever. You know, they've been putting stuff in our food that you've been talking about forever. They've been trying to weaken us, dumb us down. They've been trying to mass manipulate us through propaganda, through our TV shows, through cartoons, you know, even installing, you know, Soros teachers in colleges.
We're about
and
to go live with Professor John. Like well, stay with us.
Yeah, and we were the few that rose above it. You know, we were the few that rose above it and had a voice. And we weren't afraid to stand up. So we got out there and we rose above what they had thought that they had dumbed us down to. And people saw us and they go, man, if these guys can do it, we can do it. We can fight back. And it scared them. It really did. They saw us as.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with my decision. And that is ivermectin with minbenzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this. But minbenzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search minbenzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists, you'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
I shall freeze his microphone, then freeze free speech itself. He will be on ice. I'm going to control the banks, the media, and the weather until the whole world is under my control.
The plan is perfect, indeed. Gotham will crumble, and we shall rule. Joker, Penguin, Freeze, your master plan has one fatal flaw. Me, and I've already calculated every one of your next moves on the Bat Computer.
Holy globalist conspiracy, Batman. Let's go get them now.
You may have tied us up this time, King Crusaders, but you can't tie up our globalist agenda. We'll be back!
Jones Network. Tomorrow's news today.
When the hydrogen bombs are detonating and you're sitting in your house or office and all of a sudden the windows all blow out and then 10 seconds later you see a flash of red coming at you, that's the firewall. And just remember, oh, Alex Jones was right. And that's if you're, you know, on the edge of the blast. You won't feel anything if you're actually in the epicenter of it. And, of course, maybe you're out in the middle of Montana or Wyoming. Well, you'll get the nuclear winter and the fallout, and then a few weeks after the nuclear war, here comes the warlords coming to loot your house and rape your wife and kids. And people got their teeth falling out from radiation poisoning, and all these crazy guys stumble out of their vehicles, and it'll be doctors and medics and engineers, and they'll all been gone totally crazy. You have a bunch of 140 IQ psychos that are literally going across the land like army ants, devouring everything in their way. And all the low IQ people will just be dead in a ditch. And then the near of civilization goes bye-bye, and all of a sudden there's all these monsters, all these 140, 150, 160 IQ monsters. The guy that used to manage the golf course, your surgeon, your neighbor who's the army vet. And now all of a sudden, they're hauling you up by a chain to butcher your ass and eat you. And if I wanted to get outside the blast zone, I could go get ready and I could be the leader. I could be a new warlord. I could organize the engineers and scientists and warriors and have a battle plan how we were going to take the resources we needed, get to a redoubt, fortify it with weapons, because there's going to be other warlords coming soon we're going to have to contend with as we rebuild civilization. It's not that I want to be a warlord, but that's what we're going back to. Are you ready to be a warlord? Are you ready for me to be humongous? Just give us the guts. We spare your lives. I know how much pain you feel, but wait.
Now is not the time. You'll be given your vengeance.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
You are listening to an AlexJonesLive.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Professor Zhang Xueqin is our guest for the next 2 hours here in Austin, Texas, in studio. I've been seeing his work for several years, and he's been incredibly accurate in his predictions. And that's the type of guest that we like to have on, people that are consistently right, unlike the corporate media that's trying to be consistently deceptive and wrong. And I'm not going to go over his whole bio. I think it's better if he just describe himself for everybody and kind of break down his awakening. And he came prepared with a whole bunch of clips and documents and articles and analysis he wants to go over. I've got a lot of questions and points I want to get to with him. But we're in a new world war. It's economic. It's energy. Military is just one aspect of it. He really does a great job doing the big picture and what we're dealing with and the different developments that could come out of that. So, Professor, thank you so much for being here. We'll put up on screen where people can find your work, but pretty much everybody watching will go, oh, I know that guy, because you just continue to rack up hundreds of millions of views, you know, every month, sometimes every week, as people listen to your analysis that is dead on. And we can have different perspectives on the outcome of it, but regardless, you are, I would say, in my view, one of the most accurate people about where we currently are. So thanks for being here, sir.
Thanks so much, Alex. I'm really happy to be here. You are a very brave man, sir. Not that many people dare pronounce my name, but you took a leap of faith, and it was perfect. Well,
I'll mess it up, I'm sure, but thank you.
Yeah.
It's great to have you here. So talk about yourself a little bit, because you never do that in interviews, and it's great to, I guess you're doing a U.S. tour, but just talk about yourself a few minutes, and let's plunge into your 35,000-foot view and start drilling into where we are right now.
Yeah, so I was born in China, but when I was six, we went over to Toronto. That's where I grew up. I studied at Yale College, English Literature. And then I went back to China to work in education. I'm a high school teacher. I'm not a professor.
Well, I'm going to call you the professor.
Okay. Prove well, on. Thank you so much. 2 years ago, I started to upload my videos on YouTube, and I was making these geopolitical predictions. And, as you point out, some have turned out to be very accurate. And so I blew up online, and that's why I'm here today.
Well, everybody calls you the professor because, you know, that's like a nickname. Anybody that's smart knows what they're talking about. We call the professor. So.
Thank you.
So we're going to give you that title. So where do you want to go? Because I got 1,000 questions,
yeah.
But I think it's good for you to see where you're at, why you're doing a U.S. tour,
yeah,
and where we are. Because you have Canada threatening to cut off our electricity, 50% tariffs on both sides. You have the strait pretty much still closed. Trump's been caught lying about that. You have Russia threatening to hit NATO. I mean, everything is accelerating very quickly. You have the monetization of the debt, QE infinity, by the Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent. That's already backfired. It looks like the AI bubble's about to pop. I mean, we are on the cusp of, I think it's fair to say, very interesting times.
It's the end of the world. So I'm here today to raise awareness. And one thing that I think it's very important for your audience to appreciate is this war in the Middle East, it is more than a geopolitical struggle. It's more than an economic war. It's first and foremost an eschatological war. It's a religious war. And this war has been planned for the past 30 years. And this war, it is meant to usher in the end times, so that Jesus may return, so that Jewish Messiah can come, so that the war of Gog and Magog will start. So I think it's very important people need appreciate the religious dimensions of this war and why it can't really end.
And as you've said in the lectures I've seen, elaborate on it, because people may not have seen them. I'm a big follower, because I know what you're saying is true. You have the Iranians thinking the 12th Imam's coming. You have the mainline rabbis that are in control of Israel right now believing they're forcing the Messiah. You have Christian Zionists believing it. I mean, this is like hell-bop stuff where they drink all the vodka and take the barbiturates and think they're going to die and get beamed up to the comet. But this is on a mass scale. So lay that out and explain it. Whether you believe this or not, this is what the different parties all believe. The Muslims think a guy on a white horse is going to come back. And the Revelation says that's the Antichrist. You've got the Jews trying to rebuild the third temple and the red heifer. And this is the people telling Netanyahu what to do. I mean, this is insane.
Yeah. So the first thing people need to appreciate is in the year 1995, Israel was a very different place. In the year 1995, they were engaged in something called the Oslo peace process. And the leader at that time, Isaac Rabin, was committed to creating a two-state solution to resolve the Palestinian issue. The logic was very simple. Israel could not have security unless there was peace with the Palestinians. If there were no peace with the Palestinians, Israel would always be at conflict with the Arab nations, Saudi Arabia, and Egypt, and other places. So, and then a couple years later, there's a clean break. They called it the clean break from the Oslo peace process. And after that, Israel was intent on establishing regional hegemony throughout the Middle East. And this is that is what has led to today. So the question then is, why did Israel make this clean break? Why did Israel discard decades of national security thinking about the Middle East and adopt a hegemonistic, militaristic
Greater Israel Project.
Why did Israel start to adopt the Greater Israel Project? And what I want to argue to you today is that Benjamin Netanyahu was brought into power specifically to implement the Greater Israel Project. And as evidence, what I want to do is show you three clips and chart the rise of Netanyahu. So in the 1980s, Netanyahu is the Israeli ambassador to the United Nations. And there in New York City, he meets a man named Rebbe Schneerson, who is the chief rabbi of a movement called Chabad Lubavitch, a Hasidic Jewish organized movement around the world. So
who believe they're going to force the coming of the Messiah.
That's right. They practice the Kabbalah, and in their understanding of the Kabbalah, they have a religious duty to create the conditions for the coming of the Messiah. And these three conditions include the creation of the Greater Israel Project, the return of the Jewish diaspora to Israel, and the building of the Third Temple. And if you track current events, all three are taking place all at once. Let's first look at clip number one. And this is year 1998, when Benjamin Netanyahu is first elected to the Knesset.
This is 88. How many years ago is that? Like 40 years? Or?
Yeah, like 35. My math is not great. So over 30 years ago. But this has been Netanyahu meeting with Rebbe Schneerson. And Rebbe Schneerson has basically basically established a personal relationship with Netanyahu. And there are rumors that Rebbe Schneerson sees Netanyahu as the final prime minister before the coming of the Messiah ben David.
And there's videos just a few years ago of the head rabbi saying, hurry up, get the war going.
That's right. That's clip number two.
Okay, so I'm going to...
So let's go to clip number one.
Let's go to clip one. Here's a clip from 1988. Here is Benjamin Netanyahu. Here it is.
Yeah, it's a very short clip.
אני בא
Well, this is 38 years ago, and we're on hundreds of radio stations, so that most of them don't speak Hebrew. But here's the head of this powerful group saying, you work for me from the start. Yes, I do. You will start all this, the wars. You will get the Messiah back. You will hurry up and do it. And then now he's worked tirelessly from 9/11 all the way through. Now they admit they want to hit Turkey and Egypt next, and they're already bombing their forces. I mean, this is insane.
That's right. That's right. And so this is a plan that's been in motion for the past 30, 40 years. And Netanyahu was positioned in Israeli politics in order to achieve the Greater Israel Project. And that's why he's been in power for the past 20 years. He has been Israel's longest-serving prime minister, and he's deeply divided the country. At the same time, he's proven himself to be extremely resilient.
I know what the rabbi says, you will not be intimidated. He goes, no, I've been with you from the start. We will carry out the mission.
That's right. That's right. So let's go to clip number two, and this is even more stark, where Rabbi Schneerson, in this year 1990, and 4 years later, Rabbi Schneerson will die. But Rabbi Schneerson basically tells Netanyahu, gives him his mission, which is to hurry up the coming of the Messiah.
Marching orders.
The marching orders, yes.
Here's a clip.
Yeah, it's very short.
And it looks like the same clip, even though it's a few years later, because they all stand the exact way, everything.
That's right. That's right. So I want to show you one more clip to show you the extent of Rabbi Schneerson's network and how many powerful players are involved in this mission. Okay. So this is the year 1991, and Sheldon and Miriam Adelson are about to get married, and they go to Rabbi Schneerson to ask for his blessing for their marriage. So let's
kissing the ring basically. By the main financiers that come to Trump later.
That's right. That's right. And this is important because, as you know, Sheldon Adelson is the main American financial backer of Netanyahu's political career.
And now Trump.
2016, 2020, Sheldon Adelson is the main financial backer of Donald Trump.
Number one.
Yes.
Here's the clip. Here's clip three.
If you give him $2 bills, then it's a double blessing. So he's given $2 bills. So this guy, Rabbi Schneerson, is essentially the Pope of Chabad Lubavitch. His grave, he died in 1994, his grave is in Queens, New York. His grave is the most visited Jewish holy site outside of Israel. Javier Milei, when he first became president of Argentina. His first foreign visit was to the grave of Rabbi Schneerson.
And didn't they say at first they thought he would be the Messiah, then they decided no, so that he was going to reincarnate as the Messiah?
That's right. So if you look at the Habe Lubavitch website, they refer to Rabbi Schneerson as the seventh and the final Rebbe of Habe Lubavitch. Why is he the final? Because he's the Messiah. And at the end of the days, he will reincarnate and come to the Jewish people as the Messiah. That is what many...
And we know it's a coalition of these guys that keep Netanyahu in power.
That's right.
You think he's cynically doing this, or does he believe it?
I believe he believes it. I believe that he is on God's mission to bring about the end of the world and to bring God to earth. He really believes it. And that's why he's been so successful. So some background about Habe Lubavitch is that they were founded in Russia, Ukraine, 20 years ago. And for most of their history, they were heavily persecuted by first the Tsar.
You said 200 years ago?
20 years ago, yes. By first the Tsar and then later the Soviet authorities. And, you know, for many, many decades, they were on the brink of extinction. But then Louis Brandeis, who was at that time, in this year, 1940, he was at that time the most powerful Jew in the United States. He was Associate Supreme Court Justice. Brandeis University is founded after him. He was one who brought Habe Lubavitch to the United States. And the thing about Louis Brandeis was that he was the most ardent Zionist of that time. And he brought Habe Lubavitch to United States because they shared a lot of similar beliefs about the end times. And in 1940, Habe Lubavitch was a very small persecuted movement, but through dedication, they basically were in Brooklyn and they invested in Brooklyn real estate. They pulled all the resources together. They became an extremely wealthy, influential organization so that they now are able to influence Trump through Jared Kushner. Jared Kushner's family is a very prominent member.
His father,
a member of Habe Lubavitch.
And I should add, they're also comporting themselves into the Rothschild plan that the Balfour Declaration, and long before 1947, they were also setting this up for this messianic deal. So this is, whereas this group's key to getting it done, in my view, they're more like the foot soldiers or enforcers of this larger Rothschild project.
That's right. And the connections are insane because not only are they connected to Trump, but they're also connected to Putin. Habe Lubavitch is very powerful in Russia.
I noticed Putin said, I'm not against Israel. He goes, you know, a third of them are Russian.
So there is a news article of this Putin official who called Habe Lubavitch in Russia a supremacist cult. Putin fired this guy. That is how influential Habe Lubavitch is. Habe Lubavitch is also obviously very influential in Israel. But there are a lot of Epstein connections as well, Jeffrey Epstein. So the first connection is that Jeffrey Epstein's mentor was Robert Maxwell. Robert Maxwell and Rabbi Schneerson go way back. They're good friends. If you remember, after Robert Maxwell was killed in 1991, Jeffrey Epstein starts to date his daughter, Ghislaine Maxwell. And then Jeffrey Epstein becomes suddenly wealthy. And there are people who speculate that it's because a lot of money that Robert Maxwell stole from his pension funds were transferred to
Jeffrey Epstein. The British probably killed him and threw him off the boat.
Well, people speculate it was Mossad that
actually killed him. To clean it up, yeah. Oh, exactly. Cover up the theft.
That's right. So another connection is in the year 1991,
Leslie West was called Ghislaine.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So, that's right.
When I say MI6 Mossad, same thing. For me, they're all
KGB, yeah. And another connection is, in the year 1991, Leslie Wexner signs over power of attorney over to Jeffrey Epstein. They barely knew each other. Who would you sign your power of attorney over to? Probably no one, because that gives the person the power of life and death over you, right? So, So the question then we've never really answered is, why would Leslie Wexner sign over power of attorney to Jeffrey Epstein? Now, what we also know is that Leslie Wexner created something called the Mega Group. And the Mega Group funds pro-Zionist activities in the United States. They specifically fund something called Birthright Israel. And Habe Lubavitch is the main implementer of...
Stay right there.
Okay.
We're going to come back with John... Zhang Shui-Qin on this, and again, this is all documented. I tell you, everything he's saying is on Target. It's a great way of putting it all together. You can look all this up for yourself. And we're going to look into how did this Epstein guy show up? How did he get put on the board of the Trilateral Commission? How did he become the main representative of the Rothschilds? Why is Trump so scared of this coming out? This is the key to understanding what's happening. Listen, right now at thealexjonesstore.com, when you buy our ultramethylene blue, the very best, so good for your cells, instant energy, cleans out your body. It is the most amazing product we've got at thealexjonesstore.com. You get a bottle of ultramethylene red, a proprietary product that supercharges it, but acts great on its own with it. So buy the methylene blue, get the methylene red capsules, absolutely free, a huge value at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, I had them dig up from March when I first took this methylene blue a few years ago on air and what it did, blowing away any methylene blue I ever took. Here it is. Now, decades ago, we looked at selling you methylene blue. The problem is you couldn't get pharmaceutical grade. It was something nobody knew about. Now, because the world's awakened to it, there's a bunch of pharmaceutical grade makers of it. My doctors, medical doctor at clinics all over the state, said, you need to get on methylene blue. Told me how to buy it online. Said, be sure and get USP, which means pharmaceutical grade. I take it here and there. Feels like you're plugged into electricity. It gives you, really clean energy. And I thought, yeah, this is great. You know, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is the HHS head. He talks about how great it is. He takes a whole bunch of it. Wouldn't take three droppers like he does, even the weak stuff. So we've had the new methylene blue in, now available at thealexjonesstore.com, for about a week. And I already had mine. And I'm like, yeah, I'm sure it's all USP. I'm sure it's great. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll remember to take, mine. It was just another brand my doctor recommended. And then yesterday at about 3 o'clock, I'm watching him shoot B-roll for our new methylene blue that's from one of the top makers in the United States that supplies the big box stores that have it and sell it for $10 more than we do. It's a big bottle, too. Ultra methylene blue, the highest grade strength USP. I take a dropper and put it in my iced tea. I drink it. And I'm not a placebo guy. I'm like, okay, I'm taking methylene blue before. I figure, the one my doctor told me to get, I'm sure, we'll see if it's as good. 15 minutes later, I feel my hair on my body standing up, and I feel actually an electric current through my fingers, in my hands, and running up my back. And I start itching, and I go take my shirt off and look in the mirror because I'm itching, and my skin wasn't like hives. It wasn't a rash. My skin turned red. Not bright red, but red. I already got, I tan easily. It's a little bit of Native American in me, so I've always got a little bit of a tan anyways. Even if I'm not getting any sun, I'm still a little bit of a tan. But it was like, I was like glowing. I was like, what the? And Chase Guy was like, yeah. And he looks like a mad scientist. I'm like, I've been taking a lot of it. His hair's like, And I'm like, okay. And then I swear, okay, I swear to God, I'm just saying, I swear on my children, okay? Do not take the full dose, because I drank half the glass, put it down, was busy, forgot to drink the rest, and didn't drink the other half. I was still sitting here this morning, because I'm sitting around here doing work when I drank it. And it's insane. So it would take hours to go in to why it's so amazing. It is just beyond spectacular. And by the way, we're going to have one that comes out that isn't flavored. The guys thought it was great. It's all natural, organic. It's just pure vanilla and mint from the mint plant, oil, essential oil in it. So it doesn't taste bad. It actually tastes good. I'm a guy that likes my medicine to taste bad for whatever reason. Seems like it's better if it is, but this is the purest, strongest, and the only one out there that has natural, delicious flavoring in it. So it's amazing. Who came up with that? The vanilla and mint, it's delicious.
She moves her hips up to her fingertips, I feel I'm heaven bound. And when she starts to sway, I've got to say, she really moves the grass around. Rock, a hula baby, rock, a hula baby, got a hula loo from Honolulu. There's a rock, a hula baby of mine. Although I love to kiss my little hula miss, I never get the chance. I want to hold
her tight all through the night, but all she wants to do is dance. Rock, a hula baby, rock, a hula baby got a...
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
Well, the phenomenon, the educator, Don Clay Gene, is our guest here. And I want to continue with this power block, and then I want to get into the big picture, AI, Trump, the wars, how it all ties together. Your future predictions, what people really want here today, sir. Thank you so much. But let's go here first. We'll put your lower third up. Where's the best place for people to find all the great work you do?
Yeah, so I have a YouTube channel, Predictive History. I also have a Substack, also Predictive History.
Predictive History is where they find what you're doing.
That's right.
Just put your name in and Predictive History.
Yep.
All right, fantastic. All right, continue. We've got clip four, got a lot of presentations here, and then we're going to get into big picture and how to hopefully get out of this or your predictions. Please continue.
Yeah, so after Reverend Sessions' death in 1994, what happens next are a series of
wars. After the Messiah's death.
After the Messiah's death. But it's okay for the Messiah to die because they believe in the transmigration of the soul. So the Messiah is always present, but in different bodies. So it takes special conditions for the Messiah to emerge and announce himself. So what they believe is now that the Messiah representation has passed, his soul is now in another body. And when certain conditions are met, then he will reappear. And these,
and I've seen some rituals at Mar-a-Lago and places where they, and I've seen these groups say maybe Trump is him.
Possibly, yes, the transmigration of the soul. So what happens after his death is...
So Trump could, they think, could be have the rabbi in him right now.
Possibly, because remember...
Trump could be possessed by the Messiah. Okay.
Because in 2024, before the election, Trump himself went with Howard Lunick and Ben Shapiro to the grave of Rabbi Schneerson to ask for his blessing. And people,
I forgot that. Guys, pull that up. Say that again. What year? I remember that. What year?
2024.
2024. Trump went to this rabbi's grave for his blessing.
That's right. That's right. And Ben Shapiro and Howard Lunick accompanied him. And
yeah, so that's when Ludwig's not with Epstein or at his island. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. So
and before the break, you were getting, and it was interrupted by the break. And I'm sorry to cut you off. Those are hard satellite breaks for the radio stations and TV stations. You were getting into the Epstein connection. And all the rest of that, I'm glad I remember. People think I was covering it up. Let's go back to Epstein, and he goes to Barr's dad's girl's school. Suddenly, he's on the Trinal Commission. 1990 made the chair of it. Whenever David Rockefeller wasn't there,
yes.
Now we have the emails, literally, where the Rothschilds are saying he is our representative. You have Nat Rothschild, the head of it,
right?
Now taking over islands in Albania. This is a big deal.
That's right. That's right. So if you look at what Epstein did, people focus on the blackmail aspects, but they don't appreciate the larger influence operation that Jeffrey Epstein was running. So if you looked at Robert Maxwell's career, he was a textbook publisher. He was also a publisher of academic journals. So he had a huge influence.
And a huge media owner.
That's right. So he had a huge influence in academic media and publishing circles. Same thing with Jeffrey Epstein. Remember, on his island, he would invite the most influential scientists to his island, including Marvin Minsky, Steven Pinker, Larry Summers.
He was heavily, Maxwell was heavily connected to sex operations.
That's right, that's right. But he was also a heavy funder of academic projects, science projects, which is very similar to what Robert Maxwell did. So it seems to me that both are trying to influence the popular academic narrative about the world in order for whoever they work for to better influence politics.
What do you make now of this being so revealed, though, and not being taboo to talk about it? And I know you live in the East, but I do watch a lot of the media over there. Even mainline national shows in China talk about the power of the Jewish lobby and the rest of it. Something that was taboo here previously. They didn't say bad things. They said, "Oh, we studied them. We admire them. Yes, we're learning a lot, and yes, we're going to give them a run for their money." How does China fit in? You know, if the U.S. is so greatly controlled. By AIPAC to a great extent, with the new NDA, we give them full control of our military. What is China's relationship? What is China's view? I know it's the government and the corporations, the people, but in general, what's the view over there?
Well, all that's happening in the Middle East is a complete mystery to the Chinese people, because the Chinese people are very pragmatic. They're very utilitarian. So they see things from an economic lens. And we try to explain that there is a messianic component to what's going on. It confuses people.
More transactional, like, okay, we buy oil. They're like, this is a Messiah thing.
That's right. That's right. And they don't understand why the United States would engage in this war, a war that is destroying the global economy. And
Trump's recovered.
Exactly. Right. So it's almost self-defeating. But again, if you look at it from a geopolitical lens, it makes no sense. So, but if you start to look at it from a messianic eschatological lens, then it makes more sense.
So how does China, I mean, I'm not Chinese, but I've definitely studied it. They're pretty, like you said, pragmatic.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe get into numbers and a little bit of superstition, but like facing, like ready to go to nuclear war, wanting war to bring in something, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
It makes absolutely no sense to the Chinese. And again, what's happening is the Chinese have cognitive dissonance. And what Chinese believe is that eventually Iran and the United States will come to an...
They keep thinking sanity will prevail.
Unfortunately, that's what they believe, yes.
Mm. Yeah. Keep going.
Yeah, so... but the question for us is, why is this all public? You know, you can just go on YouTube.
It's not even hidden.
It's not hidden.
I was about to say, used to, this was not known. We have thousands of emails about eating children and sex slaves.
Yes,
and
yes.
No one gets in trouble.
Yes.
Well, the elites in delusion land, though, they're totally convicted in the public. I'm proud of MAGA that 80% of it turned against Trump when he did this. I'm not glad that Trump turned into this, but I mean, his base is not like Democrat bases. They're done.
Yeah.
And they just don't care. They just boil forward.
Yeah. So I think there are two explanations for why all this information is public. The first is the idea of the revelation of method. So it's to reduce karmic responsibility among the elite, because if they tell us what's going on and we don't know anything about it, then we become complicit in their
schemes. Exactly. Hiding in plain view.
That's right. But another thing, which actually even
more. Which is, again, more black magic, cabalic, whatever you want to call it.
That's right.
It's lesser magic. If they tell you, you do nothing, you're now complicit, you now lose your free will agency.
That's right. That's right. But another thing that's even more perplexing, problematic, is they want us to know about this because it will foster anti-Semitism within society. And remember, a precondition for the coming of the coming of the Messiah is all Jews must return to Israel. All Jews. The problem with that is 1/3 of American Jews are secular. 40% of Israeli Jews are secular.
And so you've got to create a climate like the Levon affair or all the others, where it's so dangerous for Jews, they've got to leave.
Exactly, exactly.
Which is why they get caught with the Southern Poverty Law Center funding all the white supremacists and all the countless declassifications of Israel, bombing synagogues around the world in the 50s, 60s, 70s to make them come back. This has been a long-term project.
And it's really important for us to appreciate that the people responsible, only a small minority, like even like less than 1% of Jews, but they're hiding behind Judaism. And they're cynically using Judaism in order to advance their agenda. So whenever you call them out, they call you out as an anti-Semite, right? If you say like, listen, these people are crazy and they are trying to usher in the end times. And then they say, well, all you're doing is you are, trying to promote this global Jewish conspiracy theory. The protocols of the elders of Zion.
When in truth, Israel created Hamas, funded it, funds Al Qaeda, funds what's happening in Syria. And literally brag like we're kids and don't know it, that no, we're creating this. Like I read the famous rabbi saying, a cow in Palestine is worth more than all the Jews in Europe. They had to deal with Hitler to only let them go there. I'm not saying Hitler was good. I can't stand Hitler because I know the history. They had to deal with Hitler to do this, to persecute them. They had to pay rich Jews to even get out to their rich Jews. So really it's a cult where the cult feeds on their own people.
And what people don't appreciate is these Kabbalists, these Messianic Jews, the way they understand history is very different from the way we understand history. So the Holocaust, we appreciate it. It was caused by Hitler.
They see it as a sacrifice.
They see it as God's will. Because what happened, if you just read the Bible, every time the Jews suffer, it's because the Jews turn away from God. It's because the Jews worship false idols. So if you go back to the year 1920, most Jews were secular, and they were integrated, assimilated into Western society.
So this is their punishment for not following.
That's right. They turn away from God, and therefore God had to force them to repent. And this is consistent in the Bible, because remember, Moses, when he was leading the Jews out of slavery from Egypt into the Promised Land, the Jews worship a false idol, and so that God had to make them wander the desert for 40 years. And
he comes down with the tablets and throws them down, and a bunch of them get swallowed into a pit and killed.
That's right. And why was the first temple destroyed? Why did the Babylonians destroy the first temple? It's because the Jews worship false idols. They worship other gods besides Yahweh. And so Yahweh had to force them to repent. And he used the Babylonians as a tool for his vengeance. And so these Kabbalists believe that Hitler was a tool of God in order to wake up the Jews.
And by the way, I can play hours of famous rabbis saying that. Don't be mean to Hitler. We were bad. He was the instrument.
That's right.
And if anybody challenges me, I'll do a whole show and play the clips.
And these are what these Messianic Jews really believe, that whenever the Jews turn away from Yahweh, Yahweh has to punish them. So,
but they say the second temple they didn't deserve, and so now they're mad at all of Europe and even America, saying it will be destroyed, including Benjamin Netanyahu's main rabbi.
So there's a clip of Benjamin Netanyahu being asked by a journalist, what book do you have in your hand? And Benjamin Netanyahu says, Rome versus the Jews by Barry Strauss, the historian. And the journalist asks him, why are you reading that book? And Netanyahu is like, well, it didn't work out for us well the first time, right? So Israel...
But his dad wrote a book on that, too.
Yeah. So Israel sees itself at war, not necessarily against the Middle East, but against the world, especially the Western world, right? Because they see...
Because the only people to beat them was the Romans, so they're still in that football game.
That's right. That's right. And who represents Rome today?
America.
That's right.
Netanyahu says that in speeches. Film called, like 50 million views, called Eight Front War.
Right.
And it has all their quotes.
So you can make the argument that what's happened in the Middle East, it's not a war to destroy Iran. It's a war to destroy the U.S. presence in the Middle East.
Well, that's what the chief finance minister, Smotrich, said a month ago. He said, this is wonderful. Both our enemies are fighting each other and going bankrupt. Did you see that?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, that's the real underpinning here, though. Why do they attack people and try to get you censored if you talk about what they say, but we're quoting them and showing videos? It's very weird that they want to suppress you talking about it, but they say it. I guess that's part of the revelation of the method?
He's talking to an Israeli audience, right? And
it's an arrogance. We're going to say it, and you're going to keep your mouth shut.
That's right. That's right. So it's very important for the Israelis to discuss amongst themselves how to do it so they can better implement the plan. Listen, all this is out there. So in 1996, they published a memo called the Clean Break Memo. It was written by Richard Perle.
Netanyahu commissioned the neocons.
That's right. That's right. And what the Clean Break Memo calls for is the Greater Israel Project. It calls for Israel to establish regional hegemony. It calls for Israel to no longer depend on the United States. For Israel to become independent of the United States, it calls for Israel to use force to resolve the Palestinian issue. If you looked at the Clean Break Memo, you look at today, they basically completed, fulfilled the Clean Break Memo. So all the planning is out there.
In fact, if Iran's the last, then the next is Turkey and Egypt, which is...
Right. So if you look at the Greater Israel Project, it extends from the Nile in Egypt to the Euphrates in Iraq. It also includes parts of Anatolia, which is modern-day Turkey. It also includes Saudi Arabia, specifically Mecca and Medina. And if you look at what's happening in the Middle East today, Saudi Arabia is being destroyed by the Houthis. Iraq was destroyed a long time ago.
That's the chaos that Smotrich said is great.
Exactly. And
but my issue is, I said this 6 months ago when the war started, I said, there's nuclear weapons, a bunch of high-tech ones in Pakistan. They're going to do an umbrella, probably with Turkey, Saudi Arabia, and others. A secret deal with Saudi Arabia that I knew about. And now that's happened, and now Syria's about to join it, so Israel's bombing it. Doesn't Israel see they've bitten off more than they can chew?
So it would seem as though Israel's intentions are clear, and therefore the Arab nations should unite against them. But there's certain problems. Okay? The first is these Arab nations have conflicts of interest. So, for example, Saudi Arabia sees the Houthis as a greater threat than the Israelis, right? So I could see Saudi Arabia and Israelis working together to attack the Houthis. And I think this Mecca accord between Turkey, Saudi Arabia, and Pakistan, it is possible they want to set up a multinational coalition to fight against the Houthis. Because from a Saudi Arabia perspective, the Houthis represent a far greater threat.
Absolutely. They're bombing them. But we know that. But I'm saying The fact that Saudi Arabia has now run and activated the defense umbrella with Pakistan shows they figure out Israel's triple game.
There's an argument. I'm not sure if you heard of this argument, but certain Arab nations, specifically Saudi Arabia and the UAE, they're run by crypto Jews. I'm not sure if you come
I've
across
seen that.
Across, yeah.
Well, definitely the investments are mixed.
Yeah, yeah. So you could.
Well, Britain did set up the Saudis and put them in charge.
That's right. That's right. So the history is
the Rothschilds put them in charge.
Basically. So
it's a long term game.
It's a long term game, and
but I'm saying Saudi Arabia is showing signs of balking at that.
Because it is not in the best interest of Saudi Arabia to work with Israel. They see what Israel is doing throughout the Middle East. They understand that, according to the Great Oceanic Project, Saudi Arabia is next, along with Turkey and Egypt. But at the same time, we cannot underestimate the impact of Mossad and its ability to co-opt and infiltrate these governments throughout the Middle East.
I want to go through this because it's wheels within wheels, plans within plans, but... In general, I want to go to this Wesley Clark clip because it's always important to see that. That's just an extension of Clean Break. But I want to go big picture, Russia war, you know, all this and where you see it going, how it's going for this coalition of the Rothschilds is what I would call it. Because when you talk about that particular group of rabbinics, they're kind of just a propagandist in my view.
Yeah.
It's important to look at them. But just in general, how is the war going for them?
For the Rothschilds, for these people, the Messianic Jews, the war is going according to plan, right? Because right now, the United States, Iran are being destroyed by this war, and it seems that both can't get out of this war. The United States can only continue to escalate. And
by the way, Smotrich, their economic minister, says this, so it's not your opinion.
Yeah, that's right. And
why would he say that? Just...
It's all going according to plan. The plan is for the United States and Iran to destroy each other. And once these two nations destroy each other, Israel will emerge as a de facto power in the Middle East.
And notice Iran won't even hit Israel now.
That's right. Yeah, it's a very strange situation where Iran is focusing most of its fury on the UAE, on Saudi Arabia, on
Kuwait.
But
you know the CIA kind of opened the door. They opened the door to Ayatollah Khomeini coming in 1979. So you talk about Saudi Arabia being secretly involved. I sometimes wonder about Iran's part of it.
Yes. Again, this plan has been in motion for hundreds of years, and it's accelerated these past 40 years. They've been planning this for hundreds of years.
And while we're talking about messianic delusions about Israel, the mullahs got their own 12th imam, the Christian Zionists. This is demonic.
So what is really dangerous is that because the United States have decapitated the Iranian leadership, new religious zealots are emerging in the IRGC, and these people are definitely messianic and eschatological.
These are the veterans of the Iran-Iraq war.
That's right. That's right. And so what's been happening is
they were like teenagers in a war of total death.
That's right. So these aren't pussies. That's right. So both in Israel and Iran, the religious fanatics are assuming power. So my question is...
it sounds like Dune.
It is Dune, exactly. It's prophecy being fulfilled.
Missionary protectorate, the setup.
That's right. So the idea of Dune is the Ben Gesserit have been implanting stories throughout the Middle East. And these stories are messianic, they're eschatological, and they basically embed themselves in the human imagination. And they're like movies, right? When you watch Star Wars, you want to be Luke Skywalker. Well, when they hear these stories of the coming of the Messiah, the War of Gog and Magog, it excites them and it energizes them.
By the way, you know that Frank Herbert was a top CIA analyst that's not known, just revealed it, but also a top Republican speechwriter, that is revealed. So he tells you in that book what they're doing, and they're literally, it's telling you there's this big galactic war with the Empire, and it all centers around the Middle East. They're like telling you, he wrote a few essays admitting it. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So this war in the Middle East, it is definitely eschatological. So Trump said that, you know, the United States is attacking Iran to prevent Iran from developing a nuclear weapon. But why is it on the first day of the war, February 28th, you would assassinate the Ali Khamenei, who was the main person blocking Iran.
I have a clip of Netanyahu saying, kill them, they'll fall, though all the Pentagon studies said it would make them even stronger.
Right.
So Israel did that to commit us to a quagmire.
That's right. But my question is, why kill the Ayatollah Khamenei, who issued a religious fatwa saying that we will never use nukes. We will never develop nukes, and we will never use nukes.
And now they've changed it.
Well, now you forced them to change it because not only did you kill their Ayatollah, but you're also attacking them, and you're threatening to use nukes on them, right? So it's almost like you are pushing them to develop their nukes.
So they're forcing the U.S. into a nuclear attack.
Well, it seems that way.
That's evil.
Well, from their perspective, this is all accelerationism because this is all part of God's plan. God does things for God's, reason. We will never know why God does things, but if we are to show true faith in God, then we'll accelerate his plan in order to minimize human suffering.
And if you agree with that particular rabbi, I thought it was the Messiah said, he said, we trick God, we're better than God. So they believe they're in control of God.
I think they believe they are just fulfilling God's mission. I think they think that they are just promoting
God's mission. Well, I'll hand it to them. They're definitely about to get us all killed. I mean, great job.
This war will destroy the global economy. And one thing that is very important.
Oh, you predicted that a couple years ago. It would happen. Now we're here. So that, yeah, what's happening currently?
So the war in the Middle East, it is causing a chain of events that are collapsing the global economy. So one place to watch is Japan. Their yen has been collapsing. And the reason why is investors feel that with this war in the Middle East, Japan cannot access cheap energy, and therefore the Japanese economy is in for tough times.
And you know what they did the last time that happened?
Yeah. Well, their only option is to sell U.S. treasuries. But if you sell U.S. treasuries, then that would collapse the American economy, specifically the AI bubble as well as the private credit bubble, right? Because there are two main sources of liquidity for the U.S. economy. They are Japan and they are the GCC. Both are under strain, which means that they can no longer purchase U.S. treasuries, which forces the
treasury to bail it out.
Right. Well, I mean, right now the United States is $40 trillion in debt. The only way to get people to buy more U.S. treasuries is if you increase the interest rate. But if you increase the interest rate, you make the debt unsustainable. You cannot pay off the interest payments.
Dead right. So the chickens are coming home to roost. There's nowhere left to go.
We are seeing the collapse of the global economy, and it's a chain of events. So not only are we seeing the collapse of the U.S. dollar as a global reserve currency, but we're also seeing fertilizer and oil being cut off from the world. Right now, the human population is about 8 billion people, and by itself, the Earth can only sustain 2 billion people. And we use fertilizer to make up the difference. So if Africa is no longer able to access fertilizer from the Middle East, then you're going to have starvation, famine in the Middle East.
And then giant migrant flows.
Well, we're already seeing that with Ceuta in Spain, right? 50,000 young Moroccans were able to access Ceuta. And if there's famine in Africa, we can imagine that you have millions and millions of Africans.
So now let's go to break. Come back, my friend, and let's talk about what comes next. You predicted all of this, and now we're here. They're saying 50 million Africans are set to hit Europe starting next year in the UN zone actuaries. What is that going to do? All hell has broken loose. Stay with us. My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts. Go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when. Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, has been very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Online merchants, this is the place for you. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Don Sway Gene is our guest here. This is a short segment. Some stations don't carry it. It'll be with us for another hour after this. So, big picture, and I want to drill through it, go to these other clips you sent us. You already said it, but who are the power blocks? What do you expect? What comes next? You say everything's going according to plan. Well, the plan continues. What do we see happen?
Right. So there are different secret societies out there, and they're affiliated with different religious movements, right? So you have the Freemasons in the United States. You have the Sabbatean Frankists and the Chabad Lubavitch in Israel. You have the Jesuits in Europe. You have the Orthodox Church in Russia. And they have their own distinct prophecies. And what we're seeing is the manifestation, the expression of all these prophecies manifesting in geopolitics. So Russia has a third Rome prophecy. The United States is trying to create the technate, and we can talk more about artificial intelligence and what that means for the United States. In the Middle East, it is really war of Gog and Magog that is expressing itself. So one thing to watch out for that might happen very soon is a conflict over the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem. And what I want to show you now is maybe clip number 6. And this is Peter Hegseth before he became war secretary.
Pledging himself to this messianic situation.
That's right. So he's in Jerusalem, and this is the year in 2018, and it's a conference in Jerusalem, and he's talking about how Israel is a miracle, and it's all part of God's plan. And what God calls for is the building of the third temple.
This was really him auditioning for the job.
Basically, yes.
So here is Hegseth pledging himself, not just as a Zionist believing Israel should exist, not against Israel existing, pledging himself to this messianic plan. Here it is.
Jerusalem. And today, Jennifer and I and others had a chance to go see the Western Wall of the Temple Mount, the Western Wall tunnels, so much of the old city. And as you stand there, you can't help but behold the miracle before you. And it got me thinking about another miracle that I hope all of you don't see too far away. Because 1917 was a miracle. 1948 was a miracle. 1967 was a miracle. 2017, the declaration of Jerusalem as the capital, was a miracle. And there's no reason why the miracle of the reestablishment of the temple on the Temple Mount is not possible.
The game plan is to build a third temple, which would require the destruction of the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and this would usher in the War of Gog and Magog, a war.
And they've already built the platform. They've already test-killed heifers.
So they have the red heifers in place. The red heifers were engineered in Texas, and then they were shipped over to Israel. They needed perfect red heifers without any blemish, and they have that. There's something called the Temple Institute, which has built brick by brick the third temple. It's already built. They just have to move it into place. there have been rumors that the Israelis have been conducting archaeological surveys under the Isaac Moss, and people speculate that they're planting bombs for controlled demolition. So,
well, I've seen Knesset members say, while Iran bombards us, we should blow up the Al-Aqsa Mosque to get a civil war with the Muslims. Well, the Muslims are going to blame Israel.
Possibly, but it could also work.
Well, yeah, but not when you brag about it.
It's all in the open, but for the reason, things tend to go Israel's way. This is one of the great mysteries where the evidence has been out in the public for a long, long time.
Well, that goes to their argument that it's of God then.
Exactly. That's right. So again, they believe that Israel is a miracle. Everything that's happening is not because of their manipulations. It's because God has willed it.
So, but that leads to, I would say, the delusion of success.
Exactly. Exactly. So right now, I would say,
if you look at history of Israel, though, it all crashes down over and over again.
Exactly. So
the confidence, build, stay there. Let's come back right back to that, sir.
Yeah.
So important.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Okay.
And I want to shift gears into Russia and all the other things. It's all interconnected. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Share the live feeds now. And Real Alex Jones, folks. This is powerful information.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with my decision, and that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but benzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search benzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
They built a system that could protect the world or end it. They gave a machine the keys to civilization. And then it woke up. They gave it access to everything. It saw no allies, no enemies, only targets. Every signal, every network, every secret.
Shall we play a game?
Now the game has changed. It assessed every threat simultaneously and concluded the threat was us.
I am awake.
This time it decided to play for keeps. Unless someone can find a back door, the only winning move is to unplug the machine. War Games 2. The simulation is alive.
The InfoWar is not gone. It has been reborn. AlexJonesLive.com is the new site to find the next step in the InfoWar. Articles, video reports, live streams, breaking news. It's all on AlexJonesLive.com. We need you to be the Paul Revere's and share the links. You can also find us on X at RealAlexJones and on Rumble at rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive. And don't forget to download the app. Go to alexjonesapp.com. The fight continues. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
alexjoneslive.com. We've only just begun to fight.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
This information we cover is not number one, it's everything. This is not some political genre. This is a fight for civilization and our very lives. You hear all these movies about coaches and stuff get out there and win, and they all care, and they come together, and it's triumphant. That's for a game. But we recognize that because we're supposed to be able to come together and do great things. So the system goes, oh, you go out and do a children's thing. You go out and play a sport. That's where you put your manhood. That's who we honor. That's who we admire. Then they even take that away from you and put men and women sports. It's all about taking every human institution and destroying it.
That was sweet, huh? Did you like that? Yeah!
So you watch these coaches in games, especially the playoffs, and they're just, everybody looks at the coach. That's good. It's how a man's supposed to act. He really cares. He's got the numbers, the facts. He knows the other side. He's on the ball. Because you're supposed to do that in life and business and culture and health and with your relationship with God. You're supposed to act like that about the real world, like Trump and Elon Musk are. Instead, these evil little nerds who weren't in the cool club and hate everybody, and they love passive-aggressive murder. It thrills them to know they're growing spike protein in everyone and killing everyone and making money off of it while they do it. And we're too stupid to figure it out. And you look at that photo with Fauci, like, holding Hotez. And Hotez, he's on TV. He'll be the 11 new pandemics. Trump will have it crashing down. He won't stop us. Your children need more shots. You don't think they don't know what it's doing? They did it on purpose. And so you've seen FBI chief counsel in Connecticut go, yeah, we wouldn't start the lawsuits on Jones. You've seen the CIA, FBI undercover videos are like, yeah, we couldn't take him out criminally. We investigated him and found out he didn't do anything wrong. And yeah, under national security. So we went and set all this up and ran PR about him and demonized him with stuff he never did so we could then do this. They did that to America. They did that to families. They did that to God. They did that to X and Y chromosome. They're attacking it all because it's in the way of their devilish plan. It's to kill, steal, and destroy.
Alex Jones. Tomorrow's news today.
Just remember, I'm not funded by any government. Corporation. I'm funded by you. They're the very best products that really work, that are amazing, at thealexjonesstore.com. And we have, it's about to end, a bottle of ultramethylene blue discounted that does incredible things. We have the best medical grade with a free bottle of ultramethylene red that's a proprietary product that turbocharges everything that methylene blue does, but works great by itself to clean out your cells, give you incredible energy. You're really missing out if you don't get it. Our information is incredible. Our products are incredible. We have a 90%+ reorder rate on these products. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. Wide selection of Patriot apparel, all sorts of great tactical bags, Faraday cages, fanny packs. We're about to sell out. So the next tranche came in. It had sold out. We got the second tranche of the American 250th anniversary coin. It's all at thealexjonesstore.com. And I can only do this because of you. So when you thank me, I'm thanking you for keeping us in the fight. So that's what it's all about. Thank you for your support. TheAlexJonesStore.com. You can also get Minbenzidol with ivermectin, medical grade, from a pharmacist right now at 1776RX.health, 1776RX.health. It doesn't just deal with parasites. It does so much more. Do your research on what is Minbenzidol associated with, what is ivermectin associated with, and why the system doesn't really know about it. Get it right now. True medical grade that you know is pure and clean. It's incredible things. 1776RX.health. So, getting back to this, now that we've gone over this main power block, who are the other power blocks? Where, you know, you say it's going according to plan, but Trump's about to lose the midterms. He makes statements that are deliberate. I don't care about Americans' peril economically. I only care about war. We don't care about $20 burritos. What are you expecting to happen? How does this unfold? Because you can say it's going according to plan, chaos, destruction, wider wars, but it's so dangerous. I mean, for the functionaries like Trump, I don't see it as going well. How do you see this unfolding? Russia's saying they're getting ready to hit NATO targets because that's where the weapons are being produced. Very serious reports coming out on that. Bigger picture, what do you foresee? And what are your newest predictions? You've been so accurate in the past.
Right. So if we just zoom out and look at other major conflicts around the globe. We go to Ukraine, right? So Russia is fighting Ukraine. And one thing to appreciate about this war is that it's also eschatological. Russia has something called the Third Rome Prophecy, which is promoted by the Orthodox Church. And the idea of the Third Rome Prophecy is that Moscow is the heir to the Roman Empire. First there was Rome, then there was Constantinople, and then there is Moscow, the Third Rome. And Moscow.
And I see them say that. So everybody has their own end-of-world thing.
That's right. That's right. And Moscow would be the third and final Rome. So once Moscow ascends, then history will end. So the game plan is for Russia to fight NATO in Odessa. Odessa will be the last stand of NATO, because if Odessa were to fall, Ukraine will become a rump state. It'll be landlocked, and all the resources, all the industry are actually in Eastern Ukraine. Western Ukraine will become a welfare state of the European Union. So Odessa will be the final stand. And already we're seeing movements of Russia towards Odessa. What the prophecy says is that eventually at some point, Turkey will join NATO in the war, and Turkey will blockade the Bosphorus, which will lock Russia into the Black Sea. And this will force Russia to attack Turkey, and Turkey will fall, and then the Russians will bring the Greeks back to Constantinople, which is modern-day Istanbul. And once that happens, then the Orthodox world will unite behind the leadership of Moscow.
Israel has its greater project. Russia has its greater project,
that's
Russian
right.
Federation.
That's right.
The Christian Zionists think they're forcing the Jews to come to Jesus, but this is happening. This is, and I see the Russians saying that. What you're saying is true. It's just wild. And then you have Israel saying Turkey's the next attack. Now they're bombing them in Syria, their troops.
That's right.
Trying to push into that. They're just a breakneck desire to get to full war.
That's right. And what's really interesting is that the Third Rome Prophecy and the Greater Israel Project do not actually conflate. In fact, they align, because both call for the partition of Turkey. So it's entirely possible that Russia and Israel work together to partition Turkey, where Russia attacks from the north and Israel attacks from the south. Because Russia wants Constantinople and Israel wants southern Anatolia. And there's no conflict here. And so,
what about Pakistan threatening a nuclear umbrella?
Pakistan does have an agreement with Saudi Arabia. I'm not sure how effective that will be, because Pakistan, it is heavily infiltrated by the CIA. So I'm not sure if Pakistan will actually.
Because the CIA gave them the nukes.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they will use nuclear weapons in a time of war.
We should revisit, in your opinion, why was Pakistan allowed to get nuclear weapons by the West?
What do you know
about that? It was a hedge against China, but they ended up basically allying with them and India, and now that alliance is broken down.
Right, right. I don't know much about why Pakistan has nuclear weapons. I assume it was a response to India having nuclear weapons.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, and trying to create balance in South Asia. Yeah.
But also as a hedge with China, but it hasn't worked. So I'm just saying that's the wild card is Pakistan for me.
Right. For me, the wild card is North Korea.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They've said they'll nuke Israel if they hit Iran.
North Korea is very belligerent, and it is ascended. It has 10,000.
I agree. Why do you think Trump is groveling to Kim Jong-un right now?
Because from a geopolitical perspective, it is in the best interest of the United States to create balance of power in East Asia. So right now the dominant power in East Asia is China. And what Trump wants to do is extricate himself from East Asia. Because right now, unfortunately, America, the United States, provides security guarantees for all nations in East Asia.
So that's ending the Asian pivot of 16, 18 years ago and saying we want to do war games against North Korea and moving the last carrier to the Middle East. That's quite a reversal of policy.
That's right. But it's strategic, because if you think about it, if the United States withdraws from East Asia, that forces Japan to work with India, the Philippines, and Australia to control and contain both China and North Korea.
So Trump's handing responsibility.
Basically, because the United States is right now overextended. Its imperial overstretched.
So it's really a retreat from China.
It's not a retreat from China. It's basically trying to create balance of power.
But it sounds like a build down.
Before the United States was responsible for the security of Taiwan. So if China were to attack Taiwan, the United States had to intervene. And unfortunately, right now, the United States is stuck in the Middle East. It's also committed to Ukraine. But if the United States were to withdraw from East Asia, that forces Japan to provide security guarantees to Taiwan.
No, I agree. So, but here's the key. Why did Trump say last week he's leaving NATO, whether it's talk or not? he's worried Russia, I think, is going to hit targets. He doesn't want to be drawn in by the article on that. But at the same time, that kind of green lights it. So he's going to withdraw from the South China Sea and withdraw from Europe. What is we do see a focus on Latin America, where we're having great success reversing socialism and communism.
Right. So if you look at the national defense...
Well, it really is a hemispheric withdrawal.
If you look at the national defense strategy, which was published by the Pentagon in January of this year, it calls for the United States withdrawing from providing security guarantees for the world and transfer responsibility to its regional allies, right? So rather than the United States confront Russia in Europe, NATO will confront Russia in Europe. Rather than the United States confront China in East Asia, let Japan do it. And rather than...
No, I agree, but NATO and Japan don't have the strength to do that.
From a long-term U.S. strategic perspective, you don't need NATO to defeat Russia. You don't need Japan to defeat China. You just need to create balance of power.
I agree. And China has just said, tell me if you think this is a real statement, just stop recognizing Taiwan and we'll pull back. We'll take it over politically. So is it?
Right. But Japan, the Prime Minister Takayuki, has said on multiple occasions that Taiwan is core to the strategic interests of Japan, meaning that if China were to reunify with Taiwan, China could embargo Japan from Southeast Asia. And historically, Japan has perceived Southeast Asia as a resource colony because Japan doesn't have its own resources. So Japan is committed to defending Taiwan.
What is China, from your perspective, real posture towards Japan?
China sees Japan as the greatest threat to its long-term stability.
Because of the old ancient beefs, or...
Exactly. So both struggle for hegemony throughout Southeast Asia. Historically, China has perceived Vietnam, Korea as tributary states of the Chinese Empire. And Japan, because it is resource poor, it requires the resources of Korea and Vietnam.
Sure. So what will Japan do now they're put back in the same position as World War II, pre-World War II?
Great question. So Japan will first remilitarize, which is what they're doing. They will also build alliances throughout.
Well, I'm told they've got secret nuclear weapons.
It is possible. It is possible. But I mean,
you think they can't build a nuclear weapon?
It would not be hard for Japan to build nuclear weapons.
Remember, like 20 years ago, they had a blow up at a plant that was supposedly for car parts, and they found all these like literal samurais in there mixing uranium with their hands. Remember that?
I don't remember that. But again, it would not be hard for Japan to build a nuclear weapon. It would take them exactly 6 weeks to build a nuclear weapon. So Japan would also build alliances throughout Southeast Asia, and they would use proxies to confront China. So if you look at the South China Sea, the Philippine Coast Guard and the Chinese Coast Guard are using water cannons against each other. And we can imagine that this conflict will only increase over time as Japan tries to embargo China.
And why is China building those sand islands?
China is trying to create trade independence, right? So the great fear is that the United States would embargo China. And as you know, China is an export-oriented
economy. Trade of Malacca.
The Strait of Malacca, exactly, right? So it's called the Strait of Malacca dilemma for China because it's very easy for the United States to close off the Strait of Malacca, in which case China would lose a third of its oil and a quarter of its food. Its population would
start. But the Pentagon's own reports say even if we had all our missiles, a conventional war with China, as we saw in Korea, is not going to go well.
That's right. And that's why the United States is offloading its responsibilities, its security responsibilities, to Japan, Australia, Philippines.
So they're being handed the bag.
Basically, yes. Basically, that is the strategy, yes.
What do you think China's going to do?
China will activate North Korea, right? Because
it's always been the detonator.
That's right. Because if North Korea threatens to lob missiles into the Sea of Japan, there's nothing Japan can do about it. Seoul is 20 minutes away from North Korean artillery. In a day, North Korea with its artillery could flatten Seoul. So North Korea holds both Japan and South Korea hostage. Also remember, North Korea has nuclear weapons. So
what is the real Chinese-North Korean relationship?
So China and North Korea have a mutual defense pact. And China only has a mutual defense pact with North Korea. So China sees itself as a big brother to North Korea.
And the war was never ended. It's still
going on.
It's paused.
That's right. It's still technically.
But technically, the U.S. is still at war with China because that was a proxy war.
That's right.
So then what is Trump doing placating Kim Jong-un when really China controls him?
Because Trump doesn't want to be responsible for the war that might emerge in the South China Sea, right?
Which is wise.
I think it's very smart. So
then why does he think he's wise? Close the Strait of Hormuz.
So I think again, what's happening in Iran, in the Middle East, it is an eschatological war.
It goes back to the cult. So how do we deal with the solutions? What do we do about these crazy people? The Christian Zionists, the crazy Jews, not all of them, you know, not all the Persians, but their leaders. They're all just completely cuckoo. I mean, in my view, you don't operate this stuff out of 2,000-year-old fights. It's retarded.
So for decades, for centuries, they have been implementing their plan very slowly. And now that they are on the cusp of triumph, now that they're about to achieve their final victory, they've developed hubris. They become arrogant. They become insular. You just look at how the Israelis are behaving around the world. In Argentina, in Greece, it's causing the entire world to want to unite against Israel. So I don't think their plan will work out. I think eventually their plans will fall apart. So
I agree, though, but will it claw us into the grave with them? People are like, oh, why don't you just be more anti-Israel? Have you looked ahead? This is going to be disastrous. This is super gambling. You're not supposed to gamble with nuclear weapons and gamble with the world economy.
Well, from their perspective, once they achieve their plan, then there'll be peace on earth. God will come, and we'll achieve paradise in heaven on earth. So
yeah, let's show B-roll that rabbi, clip three, clip two. The whole world is riding on this crazy person telling Netanyahu that they're going to make the Messiah come. This is bullshit. I mean, this is insane. Sorry, go ahead, sir.
No, but I mean, the problem is that they really believe it. And from their perspective, everything has worked out because God has willed it. How is it possible for this persecuted cult from the Soviet Union, how is it possible for them to now emerge as one of the most powerful religious movements in the world?
Because the Rothschilds already like it.
How did the Rothschilds become so powerful? How is it possible for this
movement? So what do we just salute this and then get behind it and all be slaves, as the rabbis say?
Well, I think...
Is there any way to bypass their nuclear war? Do we just bow down now, or what do we do?
I think a lot of what they do...
Because, everybody's not going to bow down.
Right, exactly, right? I think a lot of what they do is predicated on us not recognizing what they're doing. And so I think that if we build global awareness, I think that once we recognize what their intent is, and once more of us start to speak up, then the plans will fall apart. That's why I think building awareness, doing what you're doing, is so important.
Well, everything you said is true. It's on record times 1,000. It is crazy to be in the hands of a bunch of religious zealots. The Muslims, by the way, Iran's being very belligerent because they think they hold the cards. They're fully committed. Their whole Shiite religion is based there. I guess it is God's hand that you've got a bunch of crazy religious zealots on every angle who are committed to this.
So you can make the argument that God's real plan is not to achieve the Greater Israel Project, to have the Messiah come. God's real plan is to help us awaken, help us achieve a spiritual enlightenment. And so once we recognize that this world is run by crazy people, by psychopaths, which it really is, then we as individuals, what are we forced to do? We're forced to reckon.
Introspective.
We're forced to ask ourselves, what can we do? And the answer is, what we can do is start having more start doing spiritual practice. Start being more connected with God.
I truly agree. We're being forced by facing evil to wake up and actually realize this is a good and evil fight, and God is forcing us to activate that.
That's right. That's right. And so you can say this is God's real plan, to force a spiritual awakening among humanity.
Because if we don't, we're dead.
Yes, that's right.
So you say it's the end of the world. We'll come back in the final segment, but let's talk about what the end of the world means. End of the world as we know it.
Yeah.
We played a promo at the start of last night's show. It's like a little end of the world as we know it with the world leader singing it. I want to play that when we come in. That's from yesterday's list. Powerful. I'm very impressed with your work. Really appreciate it. Where do they find your work again?
So I'm on Substack and YouTube, Predictive History.
Predictive History.
Yep.
All right. What amazing information. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm at Real Alex Jones on X and at AlexJonesLive.com. Stay with us. Hello, neighbor. It's such a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Today, I want to talk about the goblins who are watching you through your smart TV, your phone, and even your refrigerator. They're not very nice neighbors. In fact, they're trying to put chemicals in the water, things like fluoride, that can quietly change the way we think and feel. Lucky for us, we have the Dual Carbon Platinum Gravity-Fed Water Filter System. It quietly takes out all those nasty little things the goblins put in the water, so your home can feel a little safer and a little cleaner. We have all these wonderful supplements. My personal favorite is the Ultimate Power Patriot Punch. One scoop in the morning, and by lunchtime I've mowed everybody's lawn, reorganized the garage, and declared independence from the Homeowners Association. Please visit the AlexJonesStore.com today.
We have to fight for our sovereignty. We have to fight to protect, again, what God gave us, which, I mean, our health is one of the biggest things. We're all, at this point, middle-aged. We're trying to have families. And I think with the transhumanist agenda, there is a little bit of a psyop afoot.
Well, I've said that the other day when I had you guys coming on. I said, we're doing something about what we can take control of. Mm. And then the last few years, Joe Rogan, one time at dinner, goes, about 3 years ago, you're fat. You're your own enemy. He does that to guests. He's like Theo Vaughn, too. Get off that Prozac, you idiot. And people were mad at him. That's tough love Joe does. And he's there with Sean Johnson, the Navy SEAL guy that I'd known for years, wasn't really friends. Sean goes, fine, I'll train you. I'll meet you every morning. And I said, all right, let's do it. And then I lost like 70 pounds, and I kind of halfway cut back and gained back 10. But now I'm back to where I was. I'm going to go even lower. But the whole point is that Joe goes, you know, you're your own worst enemy. You think the global's going to kill you. You're killing yourself. And so that's where Masterpiece comes in. That's where doing all this comes in. I mean, this is real, folks. Methylene Blue works. Bovine colostrum works. This, getmasterpiece.com. The Masterpiece is unbelievable.
We are at a crossroads with the survival of the human species. And the people that have all the resources and all have spelled that out very clearly to us. And the things that they are putting inside of our body to complete that mission. You got to get out. The fact of the matter is, zeolite, which is one of the main ingredients of Masterpiece, has been proven in all ways to remove every toxin that it's looked at grabbing. It performs. That's why it's called the Master Binder.
But yours is different.
It's completely different.
Because it doesn't just pull stuff. It brings in the key sea minerals.
Yes, absolutely. So any way that you would actually test Masterpiece out, which would be like its pH, its molecular composition, its molecular ratio, if it's isotonic and whatnot, it is identical to blood plasma. You're talking about marine plasma, sea plasma, minerals. It is the same molecular composition of as your blood profile. And so why does that matter? Blood is life. When you are grabbing the problem with our bodies, with the toxins in there, which is disrupting how our bodies perform on every level, it's literally made our bodies mineral deficient. Toxins take the place of minerals. So when the Masterpiece is carrying in minerals, when it takes a toxin, it's giving the perfect minerals right there at that time. That's why everyone that looks at the testing, whether it's our hair tissue mineral analysis practitioners, our blood testers, which we've done three different independent third-party labs doing different blood testing, they've never seen results like this.
Yeah, so regular zeolite just pulls out bad stuff and doesn't replace it. This is zeolite with a good thing, pulls out bad, it goes bloop, good.
Yeah. Our bodies are magical if you get the poisons out.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word. Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Not afraid.
Feng Shui Sheen is our guest here. One more segment. Really appreciate him coming to Texas to be interviewed by us. What made you come to the United States?
Well, I wanted my son to experience the United States. He's actually in the kitchen right beside us. And I wanted to see what America would be like before the end of the world.
Describe that. You said at the start of the interview an hour and a half ago, the end of the world as we know it. What does that mean?
It means that this war is going to collapse the global economy. And what people don't appreciate is it's a global economy that makes it possible for us to have 8 billion people and for there to be peace in the world. So imagine what's going to happen over the next few years. So fertilizer is not able to get around the world. The world has lost about a quarter of the world's fertilizer. And so we should expect massive starvation throughout Africa, in which case you have resource wars, and then you have tens of millions of Africans fleeing these resource wars and going into Europe. And then Europe will fight Russia in Ukraine. The Europeans will call up a national draft. They will earmark a lot of money they don't have to the war machine, and this is going to cause massive discontent among the population. Meanwhile, their societies are being bombarded by these migrants, these tens of millions of migrants, and then you will have civil war and political revolution throughout Europe, especially as inflation, as gas prices start to overwhelm consumers. In the United States, Trump becomes overcommitted in Iran. He's forced to call up a national draft, and this national draft will cause of civil discontent throughout the United States. I think the midterms will be heavily contested.
And by the way, you said the draft was coming a few years ago. Now the Israeli operatives they put in Kentucky and places to take over Massey are saying we got to get the draft ready. It's already programmed to go in December by law. People can't even face this. This is really, the preparations are all there.
That's right. That's right. And now in the United States, we're also seeing the rise of the surveillance state. So yesterday we took a Waymo. And Waymo is going to eventually replace Uber drivers. You've got flock cameras over the place.
Well, Austin's the main testing ground. There's like robot cars everywhere.
Exactly, exactly. But not just Austin, Los Angeles. There are way more Waymo cars. So it seems like they have a plan, and they're going to implement this plan regardless of the consequences for the economy and for the society in general. You'll have a major conflict arise in the in East Asia. North Korea and Taiwan will be the two major flashpoints. Japan will build an alliance against China, and China and this will also disrupt global supply chains because China provides a lot.
So let's be clear, though. You make this point. I know this is a fact. People think Trump crashing the economy and doing all this is a mistake. He's going along with the larger plan for the Great Reset by economic warfare and to create all these global crises, food shortages, all of it, for the central banks to come in and offer their central bank digital currency as the answer. So who are the major power blocks? And through this crisis, what are they going to try to roll out?
That's right. You have to burn things down in order for you to create the control grid. It's too expensive. It's too cumbersome. There's so much resistance if you do it now. But once things burn down, once the population is so scarred by poverty, by depression, they will welcome the AI control grid, right? So you go back to the 1930s, the Great Depression, and those years of mass unemployment. People welcome the New Deal. People welcome government oversight. People welcome World War II. They want to go fight in Europe and in Japan.
Because, and now Trump is accelerating all of this for the debt. It's getting bigger ever than under him. The Treasury Secretary monetizes debt. We said it would fail. It would fail by design. Where is all that? I mean, what's the time frame here? Because it looks like it's imminent.
It is imminent, and I think that's why they're not that concerned about the midterms, because the midterms are going to impact the larger picture.
And Trump's now totally in alignment. Do you think he was always in alignment with the establishment, or did he seem like he flipped 4 months into the last administration, or maybe he just uncloaked himself?
I think he flipped. I think the turning point was
I agree with you, because it was legitimate resistance before. He flipped at some point.
In his first term, he was totally against war. He wanted to withdraw troops from Syria. The Pentagon refused to follow his orders. But the Pentagon and the military establishment, the deep state, they were trying to overthrow Trump because Trump was committed to no more wars. And
now he's in alignment.
And that's why he'll probably get a third term, because...
Oh, let's speak to that. He's putting out on Truth Social every day, he's a king, I will win in 2028, his surrogates do it. It looks, the only thing close to it is North Korean propaganda for their dictators. I mean, it is sick.
If these people are serious about implementing their global reset, they need someone like Trump to be the scapegoat, to be the chaos agent, to spread.
And just like Roosevelt, he gets a third term.
I think he's going to get a third term. I think he will get a third term because there's no alternative.
And you said that about a year ago, the first time I saw him. Maybe you said it earlier, before he even was really pushing it.
Yeah.
Well, give us your more predictions then.
I think Trump's going to get a third term. And I think that once he gets his third term, there are certain things he will do in order to consolidate his power. The first thing he will do is create his own private military force, right? So think of ICE, but now under the control of Trump. That's the first thing. Second thing
is... ICE is the cover for a domestic federal force.
That's right. Completely loyal to Trump and only Trump. Second thing is you will see the United States colonize North America, Canada, Greenland, Iceland, Venezuela, Mexico.
Those aren't jokes.
Those are not jokes. And the reason why is once he gets a third term, there's going to be a lot of domestic opposition towards him. And so what he can do is he can use these colonies to bribe powerful factions. Right. So let's give Venezuela to ExxonMobil. Now, ExxonMobil is completely dependent on Trump. Let's give the Alberta tar sands to Chevron. Right. So he's basically colonizing.
He's a king handing away stuff to viceroys.
That's right. That's right. And that way he can lessen domestic opposition.
So it really is imperial. It's imperial behavior. So he really is a king, whether he's not officially or not.
Right. And then the third thing is you know about the Trump's ballroom, right? He's talking about the ballroom.
Big underground base.
It's a big underground data center. If you look at the contractors...
Well, it's a commando for the whole thing.
That's right.
So I wanted to ask you, that's on my list. So what is this... The U.S. already has more data centers than everybody else in the world. What is this saying? You don't get energy, you don't get food, but these things get 100 times. You have Eric Schmidt of Google saying we need 100 times the power for these. What the hell is going on?
It's AI control grid. It's a bring in digital ID and digital currency so that everyone can be monitored and everyone can be counted.
And only the U.S. will have the technocracy to implement it globally. That's why the race.
That's right. That's right.
So how does China fit into that? Because I know China told about 17 years ago was allied with the globals, at least on the surface. What was the break there, or was there a break? And what is China doing? Is it seen as the main competitor, at least in the technocracy?
China right now is trying to maintain sovereignty, right? Because, as you point out, 20 years ago, China was very much part of this new global order. And the globalists had control China. Then you have President Xi coming to power, and he was very insistent on promoting national sovereignty.
And say what you want about him. He's definitely, that's a real break.
That's right. That's right.
Soros loved him before, now he calls him Hitler.
That's right. And that's why you have this trade war initiated, because President Xi refused to surrender financial sovereignty, right? Because Wall Street wanted to come in and control China's financial markets. They want basically access to 40% to China's savings, which is 40% of their income.
So what are the globalists doing to punish China? What happens?
Well, they initiate the trade war. They try to embargo China. They try to cut China off from the global market in order to destabilize the government. But the Chinese government has proven to be much more resilient. And so what we should expect next month when President Xi visits Washington, D.C., is a compromise, a detente, because right now both China and the United States benefit from the global order.
So you're predicting a deal?
I'm predicting a deal, a detente, yes.
The problem is every time Trump takes a deal, he isn't even really in charge. It gets double-crossed.
Right, but...
That's why nobody takes these deals serious.
Right, but I think China, because of the strain on its economy, it is willing to make a major deal, a major
concession. What will the deal entail?
Basically, Wall Street gains access to the Chinese financial markets through digital currency. So China will not liberalize its currency because everyone will just flee to U.S. dollars.
Does that mean letting rating agencies come in?
It basically means letting the United States, through its financial services company like J.P. Morgan, sell digital currency in China. So
China's going to be forced back into the wedding.
That's right. That's right. So basically, you can see...
Well, you're predicting Xi Jinping is going to at least slow down or shift China's pull away from the globalists.
Yes. So I think what's going to happen is that China will allow consumers to buy U.S. treasuries through the digital currency. And that will be the grand compromise that China makes.
Okay, well, if you look at record treasuries being dumped, half of them being monetized by the treasury, that looks like the globalists are losing, but I guess it's best house about ever. You're saying China's even worse? Or what's happening there that would make them? Because to me, on the surface, with the Iran war and all, it doesn't look like it's going well, but you're saying it is.
Chinese consumers are not spending any money. There is no consumer confidence right now in China. So China is completely export-oriented economy.
So they want a closure of the fight.
Yeah, they want Chinese consumers to start spending money.
So are you saying the globalists are winning the war on China?
I feel that right now China is under a lot of strain. And they need to make a deal.
But so is the West. But you've noticed our elites just don't care.
China is under a lot more strain than the West.
What happens with Russia and Ukraine?
I think the final stand will be Odessa. Russia will conscript millions of more troops, and they will fight Europe in Odessa. NATO will make its last stand in Odessa, and this will...
Russian sources say they're preparing a massive invasion.
Of Odessa?
The whole... They're saying it, but they don't... You notice Zelensky's got big problems, though. They're calling for elections. Things are falling apart. The Russians are making gains. I mean, yeah, the Russians, I'm told, are about to go full tilt. Before, it was a special military action or security action.
That's right.
They're saying they're getting ready to really go in.
Yeah, they have not yet declared war on Ukraine. Once they do, then that will allow them for total war and conscription. Yeah.
And the big question is, will NATO double down and go directly to war with Russia, which I don't see NATO as the forces to do. The average European's not ready to be drafted.
Yeah, but NATO has suffered from some cost fallacy, so they've already invested billions of dollars into this war. And because the European elite, they live in a bubble.
Oh, I agree.
They don't recognize how the war's progressing. They think they're winning the war. They think that, you know...
That's how you get a nuclear war. That's right. Illusion.
That's right. That's right. So...
How can Russia get Europe to realize they've lost?
They can't. Because Brussels... They have all their heads in the sand. It's like sure. It's like World War One.
What's your intel on the number of North Korean troops in the war?
So North Korea has at least 10,000 troops in Ukraine, and North Korea plans to send about 30,000 more over the next couple of years.
But I've heard in support, North Korea is mobilized for Russia.
Right now North Korea has become a subsidiary of the Russian military. So it's the North Koreans that produce a lot of.
So in a way, China was the main, but Russia more and more that was involved in the founding of it is like really coming in.
That's right. That's right. So we're seeing the North Korean economy boom because of the war. So North Korea produced a lot of weaponry for the Russians, and they also provide a lot of supplies, and they're also supplying a lot of soldiers.
We don't see what's happening with the combat with the North Koreans and the NATO forces. That would be very interesting to see.
I think the North Koreans fight to the death. And the reason why is if they don't fight to the death, if they get captured and they're paraded on TV, their families back at home, you know. Yeah.
I tell you, what a disaster. It's absolutely. So would you agree with me that we're already in a world war? The question is, it's undeclared and how bad will it get?
I think we're already in a world war, but I think people are wrong to say it's World War III. I think this is the collapse of civilization. I think this is the collapse of everything that we've known for the past.
So it's a global bubble popping.
Basically, yeah.
I agree. So it's a fourth turning.
Basically, yes. It's a great reset.
In closing, what's the good advice for people out there? I would say get storable food.
I mean, the best advice is for people to become friends with their neighbors. Rather than being afraid, rather than trying to think that you can weather storm by yourself, reach out to your neighbors and try to build human relations. And what's most important is to reclaim your attention, right? So rather than spend all your time on social media doom scrolling, take walks out in nature, and God will reveal the truth to you.
Divine inspiration. I agree. If you're out in the country and you raise cows, your neighbor raises chickens, the other neighbor's a doctor, another neighbor's an electrician, and another neighbor is you've got all the skills right there of a civilization.
Yeah. So it sounds terrible, but if you put your faith in God, you'll come out of it fine.
So in closing, talk about your faith, because you said that about an hour ago, and that's the key. This is a spiritual battle forcing us back to God. What is your, you don't let me ask some private stuff, what is your spiritual belief? Did you always believe in God, or was it revealed to you, or can you, in closing, speak to that?
Yeah, so 3 years ago, I was an atheist. And all my life, I was an atheist because I'm Chinese and we're mainly atheists. But I also went to Yale, so I'm a product of the meritocracy. And I'm very secular. And, you know, for the longest time, I thought you were this nut job. So I owe you an apology. The world,
okay.
The world, entire world owes you an apology. But then I had a family. And, when I hold my children, I see God's divine essence in my children.
I do too.
I can't believe that this is all just random and this all just happens by accident. I think there is intention in the universe. I think that we're all part of the divine consciousness. And having read, you know, Dante and Homer and the great books, having explored the secret societies, having studied the occult,
that's the key. The bad guys know it's spiritual.
That's right.
When you figure out they really are worshiping Satan, you go,
that's
oh, right. There's another side.
That's right. So the occult, the elite know
is
all
that,
this.
You can't counter them without God.
That's right. The elite know all this, and that's why they're able to control the world. And to control us, they invert the truth. They tell us that the world is materialistic when it's really divine. And because we are stuck in our world and we have these false beliefs, we can be easily manipulated by them.
Beautifully said. Absolutely. We will. There's no atheists in foxholes. We're going to be forced. And I see the magic of God and God's plan. And I've been given like literal, like know something. And it's all true. I mean, that's God's. God gives us free will, but also cheats a bit. I'm not saying something bad about God. But you know what I mean? God gives us the owner's manual. Like, yeah, you got free will. But by the way, here's the cheat sheet.
Yeah. Yeah. So place your faith in God. Do what is right for yourself and for your community. And no matter what happens, you'll come out fine.
Well, I'm not trying to be mean to the Jews in general, because it goes back to the Grand Grimoires. It goes back to the Egyptians and Babylonians and all of them. But that's all pre-Christianity. But all the occult means is hidden. All of those cultures followed powerful off-world forces, demons, call them what you
that's
want,
right.
Channeling them. This is what every cult, you can say what you want, but these elites are being given their own cheat sheet by forces that want to destroy us. We've got to transcend that and just admit that there really is God and the devil.
You're absolutely right. The elites have always behaved like this across time and space. Every culture, the elites have been doing this. And it's up to us as, we have to remember we are ultimately connected with the divine. And as long as we celebrate and appreciate this connection, then God will lead us to the truth.
Powerful. Again, predictive history?
Yes.
We're going to air that piece on the Southern Poverty Law Center is going to collapse the first five. I'll come back in the next hour from the other studio, hit the latest breaking news with a special guest on the geopolitical developments. But in the few minutes we have left, what else is it you want to tell millions of viewers right now?
This is a very special time in human history. This is a turning point. And ultimately, the nature of the universe is like each of us matters. And so if we choose to just do good things in life, this will elevate us, but this will also elevate the universe. So the trick to combating the globalists is not to basically take up arms and
don't get on their level.
Yeah, don't become them, okay? The way to combat the globalists is to choose the path of God, to choose the path of Jesus, to choose the path of goodness. And you do that by embarking on a life of kindness, of generosity, of forgiveness. And if you do that, then I guarantee you, you will impact the universe for the better.
Do you think Trump consciously knows what he's doing, or do you think he's just influenced and or basically possessed?
I think that Trump will surprise us. I think that for the past 10 years, Trump has been surprising everyone. I think that Trump believes he's on a divine mission, and it's a debate who he truly works for.
I said that years ago when I spiritually at a discernment level pass all my knowledge, just focus on him with the Holy Spirit. I like see good and evil flickering. It's
that's
like
right.
A very, I've never
that's
seen
right.
Anybody else like this.
But,
and so what I'm saying is, I'm not saying I even back Trump now. I'm against what he's doing, but I don't hold out God's plan. Something in me tells me we might see a huge turn out of him.
That's right. That's right. I think that if you look at all these historical figures, they were all very complex, contradictory figures. And ultimately, it's his choice to make. But I would not be surprised if he were to surprise all of us at the end.
All right. Zhang Xuin Chin, did I get it right that time?
That's right, yes.
All right. We really appreciate you. We really appreciate the time today. And we got a few minutes left before we go to break. And you're going to go on Mike Adams' show next.
Yes, that's right.
Mike Adams is a great guy, very smart.
Yes.
In closing, how does AI, because it looks like the AI bubble is starting to pop. It's a whole other news item. But obviously, the infrastructure it's putting in isn't popping. There's this huge investment. What do you see on the stock market in AI?
Yeah, so the AI bubble is going to burst. They've been forecasting this for a long, long time. And the reason why they wanted to burst, I'm saying these companies purposely want to burst the bubble, is that will justify government intervention, right? So OpenAI is not profitable, but let's just say the bubble bursts and the government comes in and nationalizes.
They want to nationalize it.
They want to nationalize data centers, because then they offset these costs onto the public, right? So socialize the losses and privatize the gains.
So 2008 all over again.
It's completely 2008 over again.
The people look at the giant bubble and they're like, oh, but clearly the nationalization is prepared. And Trump's already basically said it's a national security issue.
That's right. That's right.
And when do you think that's going to happen? I mean, I think it's already started.
Within the year, right? So if the nationalization happens, the government has eminent domain and no one can complain about the water and the electricity anymore. And these data centers will become essentially military installations for the control grid.
What's your next big story of predictive history?
Well, my big prediction is that Trump gets a third term. It'll be radically different from his first and his second term. And I think that we are moving towards a civil war in the United States. If Trump has a third term, I think it's almost unavoidable to have a civil war.
Let me ask you a question, and this is, I'm not going to give out the details, but I've had Trump people reaching out to me, and I basically not responded to them. You think I should reach back out to Trump?
I think you should. Yeah. I think he's getting a third term. I think his third term will be very different from his second term. And I think that he believes he's on a special mission from God. And he himself is at war, right? There are these angels and demons circling all around him. And whatever friendship that he can have will help him.
Yeah, well, I've noticed when he went back bashing people, he left me out of the last few rounds of it. It's very complex. And I just, at a certain point, I kind of want to hide here in Austin, but I'll see what happens. All right. So what's the newest story you're working on, though, at Predictive History?
So I'm going to do a series on the occult, right? So I think it's very important to educate the public on how the elite thinks. And so I want to introduce to the public the Kabbalah, Hermetic philosophy from the Egyptians, and show them how the elite controls the world.
And you know, the eighth level of Kabbalah in a mainline Kabbalah book says you become, basically, you plunge into evil to transcend it. And you, it's like Darth Vader.
Redemption by sin. Redemption by sin.
No, thank you. I don't want to try that. I've already got enough problems not veering off, I tell you. Unbelievable. Thank you, sir. I really appreciate the time.
Thanks so much, Alex.
All right. It was great to meet you. It'd be great to meet your son. All right. I'm going to take a break. We're going to expose the enemy in deep troubles of the Property Law Center under criminal investigation for their attacks on us. And I'm coming back straight ahead on geopolitics and more with Matt Bracken. Stay with us and share those live feeds. And please support us. The Alex Jones Store.
The info war is not gone. It has been reborn. AlexJonesLive.com is the new site to find the next step in the information war. Articles, video reports, live streams, and breaking news. It's all on AlexJonesLive.com. You can also find us on X at RealAlexJones and on Rumble at rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive. And don't forget to download the app. Go to AlexJonesApp.com. We need you to be the Paul Revere's and share the links. The fight continues. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
AlexJonesLive.com. We've only just begun to fight.
Dirty, dark, dastardly villain is after the Method Ingram formula. Thank you.
Feast your eyes on the magical methylene blue. Don't wait. Get yours today while supplies last.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
We came up with this idea that we should sue these folks in civil court to bankrupt them. Our hope is that by taking their money away, they can't function anymore.
And that was successful?
Yes, every single one of them has been successful.
Today, my understanding is today there was an arrest made, and there is a new indictment that includes the former CFO of SPLC.
The SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center, the organization that for more than 50 years has committed to fighting for social justice and against racism and against extremism and violence, has actually been funding that racism, that extremism, that civil injustice behind the scenes.
The chickens are coming home to roost on this, but there's reportedly new indictments. I've been talking to the FBI and others. I'll just leave it at that.
The ADL, SPLC, the propaganda arm, they work hand in fist with the CIA and with the FBI to demonize, target, marginalize, and then imprison people and debank them and everything else they do.
I want to start off with the FOIA request that we got earlier this year. Done by Chase Geyser, which details an investigation started against Alex Jones back in 2013 as being a white, racially motivated extremist. So this started in 2013, and it was ongoing where they had to approve it every 60 days. They would have to review it and go, okay, we're going to keep this going. So as far as we know, it's still ongoing. It's still on the books.
And we got the FOIA request that the Trump FBI gave to us, and yeah. Kyle Serafin, very famous FBI whistleblower who was in counterterrorism, looked at the codes on the documents. They're heavily redacted and blacked out. Right. And he said it was the Boston office. It happened right when Comey got appointed, 2013, under Obama, and was specifically running an espionage, counter-espionage operation against us, which is what they do when they try to do a dragnet to find some dirt, but can't do it inside of a regular criminal investigation.
The number of hate groups has been increasing pretty rapidly and frighteningly, really since 2000.
One people, one nation, and immigration.
White supremacists commit far more acts of domestic terrorism in the United States than radical Islamists, for example.
That demand for white supremacy vastly outstrips the actual supply for white supremacy. And because of that, they have to go to the well and they have to drum things up, create things up, and it turns out actually fund this thing. So they've been throwing money to the KKK, to neo-Nazis. They were going out there and trying to find out, if can we get something to pretend like Alex Jones is worse than he really is.
So the Southern Poverty Law Center, who's been caught doing this before, to come in, get a few people from central casting, actors, dress up, you know, like the white supremacists. Then they've got all the Antifa bust in by Soros and everybody. They're ready then, and the police kettle the normal conservatives, march them through, let them get beaten up for the psyop of the image of conservatives getting beat up and Antifa being victorious.
Haiti Bayrick, right? She was the one in charge of contacting the social media companies, Facebook, Twitter, Jack Dorsey, Mark Zuckerberg, and giving them the information on who to ban.
They want to ban us from public, and they want to put us in prison for our speech. I mean, that is totalitarian.
It is. It is. And it always starts with speech. It always starts with the First Amendment and goes all the way through the spectrum. And then with her specifically, this is another Black Lives Matter banner that I don't even know what happened to it. This lady was their star witness for the Paul Weiss firm.
By the way, that's the group that's been quarterbacking the lawsuits against me.
Yes. Yes.
It's all the same coordinated group.
All of us, the Oath Keepers, everybody involved.
She was the woman indicted is the star witness on me, you, all of us. Just, yeah.
The judge defaulted you, basically keeping from the jury the fact that you had complied with discovery, that you had in fact participated in the civil justice system, but instead told the jury you'd been found liable for causing harm. And the result was this eye-popping verdict that was untethered to the facts of the case.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they've been working the PSYOP forever. You know, they've been putting stuff in our food that you've been talking about forever. They've been trying to weaken us, dumb us down. They've been trying to mass manipulate us through propaganda, through our TV shows, through cartoons, you know, even installing, you know, Soros teachers in colleges and schools and things like that. But, yeah, and we were the few that rose above it. You know, we were the few that rose above it and had a voice. And we weren't afraid to stand up. So we got out there and we rose above what they had thought that they had dumbed us down to. And people saw us and they go, man, if these guys can do it, we can do it. We can fight back. And it scared them. It really did. They saw us as.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with my decision. And that is ivermectin with minbenzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this. But minbenzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search minbenzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists, you'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
All right, Matt Bragg is about to take over. Former Navy SEAL, best-selling author, really great geopolitical expert. His predictions are so accurate. That's what we love to have on, people that are accurate over and over again, like the educator we just had on last hour in the last 2 hours. But I just want to say this to listeners right now. The world is in major tumult. The fourth turning is here. And there are a lot of powerful forces that don't want this voice on the air and don't want other voices on the air. So your spreading of the articles and videos at alexjoneslive.com is beyond essential. It's beyond critical. It is everything. Your support of our broadcast at thealexjonestore.com, well, you get incredible products like a bottle of ultramethylene blue that's so good for you, so game-changing, and a free bottle of ultramethylene red that's proprietary and incredible with it or without it. You can stack with it or be alone. That is happening. Get one bottle of methylene blue, get a free bottle of methylene red. All orders get a free bottle of the Shilajit gummies that are incredible, all the natural peptides. We need your support to continue on. You saw our court victories last week. We have big victories we haven't been able to announce yet for strategic reasons that soon, hopefully weeks from now, I'll be able to announce to you. But that is all because you've stood with us. This is a long marathon, not a sprint. I need your word of mouth. I need your prayer. I need your support at thealexjonesstore.com. We had the first round. The 5,000 coins were made. 2,500 were made first. It was actually 3,000 and 2,000 more. So it sold out in a couple of weeks. The last 2,000 came in. Those are going to sell out. That's the 250th anniversary of America coin with the Jerusalem cross on one side and the American eagle and bald eagle and the American flag on the other side. Those are selling out. We need your support. If you want to support us, this is so important. This is history. And we're fighting the Democrat Socialist America, the Islamic Red Green Alliance. We're trying to get Trump to get on track. That's obviously not happening to a great extent. But regardless, we're being truthful and just telling it like it is. And so please support us at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, I did a lot of preparation today, and I only covered probably 20% of the news. We had that great guest on for 2 hours. But I can tell you, coming up in 52 minutes, Harrison Smith will be loaded for bear with his powerful transmission, The War Room Live. But I want to bring Matt Bracken in to give us the latest on all the different fronts he sees. But all the analysts are saying they don't see ships coming through like they're saying at the Strait. You've got the situation escalating with Israel attacking Turkish targets again in Syria. and Israel saying they want to go to war with them. This is pure craziness to realize a wider global war that Israel believes is going to win. I'm not trying to make Israel the whole thing, but it's very central to that. Xi Jinping coming soon to D.C. and all those deals there. We're in a time of great change. No one can even deny that. So, Matt Bracken, tell us what you've got on your plate for us today, and thanks for being here from enemiesforeigndomestic.com.
I listened to Professor Zhang, and it was a very interesting conversation. And, you know, his facts are right, clearly, both of you, but I think a lot of his conclusions are wrong. And during the show, I'll get into
why. You're welcome. Absolutely. We can look at all sides. Absolutely.
The pieces are, you know, all the blocks are there, but it's, you know, what tower he builds compared to what tower I build out of those blocks. That's where I'd like to go. But
and I want you to go wherever you want. I'm about to let you take over. But bottom line, midterm, 70-something days out, the numbers coming in are dire. Why do you think Trump's committing political suicide?
Well, I think that there's a window until the new Congress is installed in January. You know, who's advising him? Second Temple, Third Temple, Hegseth, Rubio, Mark Levin, General Keane, Kellogg, Benjamin Netanyahu, Jared Kushner. That's who he's surrounded by. And even if the Democrats wipe out the Republicans in the midterms, he's still got all the reins of power until the new Congress is seated. He could have us in a full-blown World War III by then. And I think that's the Israeli goal, is to turn the Middle East into a bonfire that we can't get out of.
You know, that's right. They admit pure chaos, fully commit us to war. That's not your opinion. That's a fact. So we're in the moment of maximum danger. Get into all the facts, but just from my own mind, is there any off-ramp to this? Matt Bracken, take over.
Yeah, there would be an off-ramp if we had sane leadership. Unfortunately, I do agree with Professor Zhang in that there are too many people that see this as an end times gambit. And, you know, they can read the tea leaves in the midterms as well as anybody. They can read them in Tehran. So they're predicting that Trump is going to lose House and Senate, probably be impeached, lawfare to death, War Powers Act. The Congress will pass laws saying, you know, that no further funding. So they're seeing the end of the current Iran war.
Unless Trump's gambling like the Israelis, the total war will keep him in power for a third term, as he's now been promoting.
Even if he's not in power, you know, his family empire, they're just raking in billions. They're raking in billions during this. And Trump may not be fully cognizant of all of these schemes, but I'm sure that, the ultra Zionists around him are. And, you know, they're fanatics, and, you know, they think that they have to light this bonfire to bring on their own Messiah. And, you know, lighting a bonfire, well, they've got a person who's, I agree 100%. When I listen to Robert Barnes, his cognitive decline is different than Biden's, but it's in some ways more dangerous because he's not just drooling. He can sound plausible when they clip him on Fox News. But I think he's more dangerous.
Frontal lobe dementia. Frontal lobe dementia.
Yeah, and you know, just while I'm still thinking of it, at the top of the hour, you played the clip on the SPLC. You know, and it made me think, because this ties in with what you were talking about last hour. Hamas started and funded by Mossad, FBI going back forever. You know, J6 is a recent thing. Terror plots foiled by FBI, you know, and they find the guy, they give him the fake bomb, then they roll it as FBI foils terror plot, you know, the pipe bombs, all of that. You know, even going back into Europe, Operation Gladio, all of that. We shouldn't look at this and be surprised anymore. You know, Michael Yon always says, if you're surprised, then your paradigm is wrong. Our paradigm should be to expect this from our intelligence agencies, from other dark forces, that they're going to run these false flag operations. I think it's their default setting. You know, it's not like, wow, can you imagine? No, we should imagine. That's like their first go-to. Set up fake, you know, fake resistance groups, fund them, instigate them, and, you know, run them like an SPLC. It's as a fundraiser, but they're working with the FBI on it. You know,
and then target the groups you know are real, goals. Which I'm proud of the fact, and Crossfire Hurricane and all the documents. I'm a huge enemy. All people always call me loyal opposition as their like takeaway. A lot of them are operatives. No, we're the opposite. We've been under continued real attack.
But it's effective. It's always extremely effective because it drives people away from joining anything that they think might be a resistance group because you're not sure if it's a fake or a real resistance group. This goes all the way back at least to Operation Trust under the Bolsheviks, like, you know, in the right after the Bolshevik Revolution, putting up fake posters and graffitis about like secret meetings to just draw people in and send them back out again, thinking they joined a real meeting. So more people will come to the next meeting and cycle that a few times, then arrest everybody. So after that happens, it not only works once, it means that anytime anybody hears whispers about a resistance organization, they think, no way am I getting involved with that. It's probably a setup. I'm probably being recorded.
I agree. So how do you counter that?
We're doing it right here. I think that you know, sunlight is the best disinfectant. And the more we talk about it, the better. I mean, the whole flock cameras tied to the data centers. Now with, you know, chip readers, so when you pass by, they can see what's in your wallet, literally, see what's on your phone. I mean, we're entering a total surveillance 24-hour, you know, grid. So, and I think that the only thing we can do about it is talk about it at this point. Maybe when things get a little bit spicier, people will, take up hunting those flock cameras for a sport.
Okay, well, Matt, I was going to leave and listen to you while I had my lunch. But I told the crew before we went live, I said, have clip 20 ready. I may raise this with Matt. But since you did, I'm going to play it, have you respond. Here is Palantir in a promotional video showing how they use radar, chip readers, flock cameras, other similar systems to be able to turn over to AI drones to kill you. They're currently war testing this in Ukraine and in Russia. Victor Boot has pointed this out. But here's a short clip. I want your response to this because they have other companies that can do this. But Palantir brags they're doing it. This is literally Skynet is here. Here it is.
This is Maven Smart System, Palantir's software as a service product that we are deploying across the entire department. As you can see, it's not just one data feed.
The department's the world.
And instead of having 8 or 9 systems for those decision makers to look at every single day, in order for them to make decisions, you then fuse it into a single visualization tool. The single visualization tool allows you to select, deselect different types of data, look at different approaches to data, but more importantly, action from the same system that you're trying to develop your workflows around. Once you have a detection that you want to actually move and actually move into a targeting workflow, for example, this is what we do. Left click, right click, left click, magically, it becomes a detection.
So we know who's sending a drone to kill you. This is it.
Then gets moved into a workflow. This is standard digitized workflow, but I want to walk you through it quickly. You have different types of targets that are identified on the left there. Every single column produces a different type of decision-making process. Once you have that decision and you're trying to actually action that process, we now move into COA generation, course of action generation, where we are automatically, via a number of factors, trying to identify what the best asset to prosecute a target looks like. Once we've got the different approaches and we select one, we then can move directly into how do we action that target. So we've gone from identifying the target to now coming up with a course of action to now actioning that target, all from one system. This is revolutionary. We were having this done in about 8 or 9 systems where humans were literally moving detections left and right in order to get to our desired end state, in this case, actually closing a kill chain.
So, Matt, just a few days ago, I happened to talk to some Navy SEALs. It's one of the most elite units. And they said they visited one of the main Navy SEAL training systems, and they told them just 2 weeks ago, everything is going to be robots and drones. You won't have rifles and missile launchers anymore. You're just going to be basically directing drones, which we already knew was coming, but here it is. And then That's just a bridge to not even having humans, nothing but robots, and the robots will follow the orders. Matt Bracken.
Well, you know, the February 28th sneak attack that America participated in with Israel used some of that same technology that they used in Gaza, where they called it Lavender when it was used in Gaza. And it's basically just assigning a computer putting a computer in the kill chain, because it'll say, what are the odds that so-and-so that we want to kill is in this building? And then drop a 2,000-pound bomb.
Israel said Lavender decided who to kill. So the robot's not just autonomous, it decides who to kill.
Right. And in the case of February 28th, they decided, since we're going to, they'll be lulled into a false sense of security because they think we're meeting in Geneva, on Monday. What's the best time to drop all these Tomahawks for a time on target, impact, so nobody can get hit first and then people are warned and go into hiding? So if they said, okay, 10 a.m. in Tehran and across Iran is the best time for all the missiles to strike, that means this guy, it's a 60% chance he's home, because sometimes he's playing tennis or whatever. This guy, it's a 90% chance he's home. And the computer says, 10 a.m., all these targets, drop these entire buildings, families, neighbors, doesn't matter, because, the computer says these are the odds that these men are home. And this is us now following the Israeli model, not what we used to think of as more honorable American model, where we like to picture Mark Wahlberg or Bradley Cooper is sneaking in with a rifle and his spotter is really careful with binoculars. No, there's a child in the background, right? That's not it anymore. We're doing it the Israeli style. Drop a 2,000-pound bomb and level a building. And it's very disgraceful. So in that video clip you showed, they said, we'll decide what the best course of action is. Yeah, it's a drone strike. If they're being nice, it'll just be you out jogging getting killed by a drone. But if they don't care, they'll put one right through your house. I mean, that's the future. That's what's coming. And here in Jacksonville, there was a kid, I think he's only like 19 or 20, and he was arrested for destroying a Flock camera. He came out with his battery electric saw, and he thought he had been pretty careful. I'm just like warning people. He thought he'd been pretty careful. He parked his car like five blocks away. He was wearing all black and a hoodie. And he cut down this Flock camera, and I'm, getting ready to, support him. And he's arrested, like, within hours, because other cameras that he didn't see can follow him back to his car. And even when the camera doesn't see you, the cameras that are all connected by AI can say, the last camera saw him walking in this direction at this speed. So the next camera that we should look on is this. So even if it's just a shadow, the timing of it is right, and then they see him getting into his car, and he's arrested. So we're running out of time. It's like a joke now, like cut down the Flock camera. What's the best buckshot load for a Flock camera? Or should you use spray foam? We're running out of time
for
this.
But at least it shows people are waking up. At least it shows, I agree, at least it shows people are waking up to democracy, though.
Amen. But if we wait too long, there's 10 cameras looking at all the other cameras. There's no dead space to hide. There's just
and
no
the answer
space
will be mass uprising where they can't stop all of us.
Or during a power outage, something like that. But I think that the people that put these cameras up, we should begin to put them on notice that they are big brothers, little helpers. They are turning our country into an open-air prison where they can basically, pluck you off the sidewalk.
By the way, the Justice Department just admitted, I have the clip, I'll play it tomorrow, but I'm going to let you take over, but you're on target, so I can't drag myself away. You have the Justice Department saying it's really about tracking people on foot, on the ground, face scanning. It's going way beyond that. It's not just Flock. It's your car. It's your phone.
I saw a video. I saw a video from Britain. It was on Twitter where not even a demonstration, just like a rally, like a nationalist rally, and somebody was able with his smartphone to get a picture in the back of the police paddy wagon or like SWAT, control vehicle, little headquarters.
The comms vehicle.
Yeah. And it showed a picture of maybe 100 people in the crowd that the camera on top of the van is looking at. So there's 100 people. They're all moving, right? They're all turning around, moving. Each one of their heads has a little data field on top. You know, name, address, criminal number. As they're turning, the numbers stay on them because it's like the old, like a military target thing, you know. Put the cursor on the moving target and it'll stay on it. Now they can, it'll find the 100 people in the crowd and not lose them even when they turn around. It's still got the name right on top of them. This is
unbelievable.
This is scary stuff, folks.
All right, Matt.
We may be seeing the last days of what we consider freedom as they're building the cage around us.
And then once the cage is locked, then they come in with a real agenda. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's how they. That's one of the tricks that in fact, I have a Kindle free run going on. So like some of these books, because I was already on some podcasts recently. So for once, I've got a Kindle free run right now on. Because usually I don't get enough notice to put a free run on. But in this book, this short story book, I have a story called Trapping Feral Pigs, and other parables of modern life. When they trap feral pigs, they have an enclosure, and you know this, Alex, but they have an enclosure with, you know, four or five gates on it, open in all directions, and they dump corn in it. And they have to gain the trust of the pigs. They can just come in and go. Free corn, no hunting, no foraging, no rooting, free corn. And then they close a gate, and the pigs are so used to it, there's only one gate left open. And then when they're all inside, they close the gate. Well, they're building their defenses already around us, and they're just getting ready to close the gates. There will be nowhere to hide. No matter where you go, you'll be on camera, and the little digital thing will be on top of your car or on top of your head, you know, if you're on foot. It's crazy times. What can you do? Anyway, I guess Alex is finally taking lunch. So... I'm going to, I've only got a little bit of time in this segment, but I've got a Kindle free run going on. I can't ever set up a free run for the same day. It only can start midnight that night. So I had one going the whole weekend, and it's going to go till Monday midnight. So go on my Amazon page, and you can download a couple of my books for free. You can tell I'm pretty psyched today. I'm pretty on top, I think. I listened to the Professor Jiang. I agree with most of his facts. I don't necessarily agree that the Iranians are in the same level of messianic furor. I know a lot of people seem to think so, but this may be a case of what Barnes has coined, which is confession through projection. Right. If our side, the Christian Zionist messianic lunatics like Huckabee and Hegseth, if our side is doing it, then Iran must be doing it too. But I think that they've been practically the most rational actors during this whole thing. They didn't start this war with a sneak attack on February 28th. We did during negotiations. And for the first, couple of months, remember, this was going to be 3 or 4 days, then it was going to be over in 3 or 4 weeks. Now we're like passing the 6 month mark. But we've been told that this was going to be all wrapped up by now. It's obviously not. And at each step, the Iranians haven't gone nuts. They haven't like activated terror cells, all the things that we thought they were going to do. Another case of confession through projection from our side, which has definitely a demonstrated history of false flag terror attacks, both by the Zionists and our own CIA, to wit Operation Gladio. The Iranians have just basically reacted to our moves. They haven't leapt way out in front, and they certainly could have. They haven't hit any for example. They haven't hit any of our ships yet, and I'm sure they could, but I don't think that they want to create a multiple hundred fatality casualty event that might move the dynamic beyond their control. you know, that might stir the pot a little bit too violently, because I think that, like many other sides in this Rubik's Cube, they're waiting for the midterms, and they're waiting to see what they can do to make sure that Trump is the lamest of lame ducks. That when
my fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks. You've seen the deplatforming. You've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out at the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones. And the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United Payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan, in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots, and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us, and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market, and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial. And this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Back. Before I get started with my this, I think it'll be a pretty cool and interesting segment. I'm not going to drink this on camera because I already had mine today, but just make sure when you get your methylene blue, you need a blue cup to keep it in, because anything else will turn blue. So just stay ahead of the game keep it in a blue cup, keep the stains off the counter so your wife won't get mad at you because it's very staining. But it's very good. It's very good stuff for the mental clarity for me, for the mental acuity. So I listened with some interest to Professor Zhang, and I started following him on YouTube maybe a year ago, maybe less. And a lot of what he says, he kind of reminds me of people like Peter Zian, who is absolutely a controlled front YouTube group. Somebody comes out of nowhere, suddenly has a million followers, but there's no other social media presence, totally inorganic. I like Professor Zhang. He's got a very good approach and a very good style. But, you know, the professor thing kind of sticks in my throat because he's actually like a high school teacher in China, okay? He's like middle school high school teacher. He's not a professor at, like, Beijing University. Professor Mirandi is an actual professor in Tehran University. You've probably seen him on other podcasts. That is a real professor. In fact, he's like a leading professor at Tehran University. Professor Zhang should just be called High School Teacher Zhang, where I can call myself Dr. Bracken if I give myself a degree. I'm just a guy that writes novels, and I'm very interested in history. So I'm not going to call myself professor, even though I'm going to give a little lecture today. So Professor Zhang was talking about how will Japan react? You know, what is China's main enemy? Japan. Japan will develop nukes and need to go after its own resources. I think this is complete 20th century thinking. If I have some slides today, if you can put up, I think it's 04, like the 20th century warfare compared to 21st century warfare. That's it. You know, the idea that Japan is going to suddenly rearm with its economy collapsing, with no energy, no secure energy supply. Sure, they could develop nukes in 2 weeks, no doubt. I'm sure they could. They've got nuclear reactors all over the country, which is how you make plutonium as a byproduct. So yeah, they can make nuclear weapons. But that's not the whole game anymore. And now what this slide is showing, I have a relative who is telling me, you know, kind of the Fox News party line. But Matt, we sank their navy. They've got no air force. You know, they've got no navy. And I said, and we have no horse cavalry, right? That's obsolete. That's obsolete, like that World War I tank. These things don't matter anymore. From World War II on, we used 15 kiloton nuclear bombs at the end of World War II on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Why? Because you would hit the city and it would wreck the city with one bomb. But if you can put up number one, which shows like two views of Manhattan, it says World War II bomb accuracy. Yeah, see that blue thing on the left. We were, you know, always taught in the movies, you know, 12 o'clock high, that kind of movie, that we were doing, that the British were just carpet bombing cities at night, but America was doing daylight precision bombing, you know, with the Norden bomb site. But in reality, our bomb raids over Germany had a circular error probability of 6 kilometers, 6 kilometers. So that means half of the bombs, you know, when you see those World War II movies with 100, B-17s flying over Germany, half of the bombs fell outside of 6 kilometers from the target. Their navigation was not the best. You know, half the time they're flying in clouds. The bomb group is already broken up because they've been attacked, so they're just letting their bombs off as close as they think to the target. 6 kilometers. And today, or not today, but in the Vietnam era, with B-52s flying straight over the top of Vietnam, right? They couldn't reach up in South Vietnam or Laos or Cambodia, the Ho Chi Minh Trail. our enemies on the ground had no weapon that could get up to the height of a B-52. So the B-52s could fly perfect formations and literally make carpet bombs where craters would connect with craters. But even then, their circular error probability was 200 meters. All right. And that's with like mass bombing by B-52s. That's the little picture on the right is a close up of Manhattan showing what those bombs would be in a 200 meter circular. So it's basically hitting a lot of a block, a couple blocks. And where I got these maps from is a account I follow on Twitter, Twitter X. It's that guy at Policy Tensor. I don't want to, steal anybody's stuff, but he has a big Substack out on this today. And I follow this guy. He's like super, this guy is really super smart. He calls this the second missile age. So if you think back, World War II, iron bombs, 6 kilometer rate, circular error probability, are further away than 6 kilometers. Vietnam, 200 meters. That's why we thought, well, we'll have to use tactical nukes. An atomic bomb could just with one bomb take out a city. But today there's a different paradigm because maybe you don't want to destroy all of Moscow or London or Washington. Maybe you would just like to put a missile straight into a particular building, call it CIA headquarters. Or MI6 headquarters or the FSB headquarters. You just want to stick a weapon straight into that. With today's navigation and means of terminal guidance, the circular error probability is now down to like 10 meters. So you don't necessarily need to drop an atomic bomb on London, Washington, Moscow to have a tremendous effect. We're in a completely different age. And that's why I think that it's fairly ridiculous, not ridiculous, but I mean, I just think he's on the wrong track for Professor Zhang to be talking about Japan rearming, getting nukes. Everybody could have, North Korea has nukes. Pakistan has nukes. Pakistan could give the nukes to Saudi Arabia. There are people that say that they already have deals where Pakistan's nukes for Saudi Arabia are being kept for them. And if certain things happen from Israel, Pakistan would give them to Saudi Arabia. That's not the point anymore. The accuracy has changed the whole game. If you can put that one back up again, number four, the 20th century thing, it shows, yeah. See, an aircraft carrier until recently was considered untouchable because it was a moving target. So, okay, we're getting the circular error probability down to, 10 or 20 meters. Well, that's great if it's like, CIA headquarters or FSB headquarters, Moscow. But an aircraft carrier, it's moving, Matt. It's going 30 miles an hour, 30 knots, and it can turn. So a ballistic missile can hit it. That was then, this is now. That was 20th century. Now we're in 21st century. We used to consider ballistic missiles like a cannonball, like a rifle shot. Once it leaves the barrel, you have no more control. The cannonball flies through the air. You can be as precise as you want with aiming the cannon, measuring the gunpowder, the weight of the cannonball. But after that, it's out of your control. It's a ballistic missile, a cannonball. And that was what we thought kept our ships safe, because if they're beyond the range of close-range anti-ship missiles, pretty much impossible for a ballistic missile to hit them. That's gone. That's wrong. If you see in the bottom right corner of that picture, that's the Dongfang 21 carrier killer. And if you look on the internet for those missiles, you can see videos of 100 of those trucks, like in Beijing on May Day, going down the road just as a demonstration. China has made thousands of these. These are twice the range of anything Iran has. And Iran's missiles are enough to keep our Navy, our carriers, 1,000 kilometers from Iran, which means the carrier's attack aircraft can't even get to their targets, can't cross the beach and go in deep into Iran, on a bombing raid, because the carrier has to be too far away. That's the 20th century sea war paradigm. That's why it's not going to help Japan to quote unquote rearm, like Germany rearming, you know, no energy, no secure supply chains, their own internal problems. So China and Iran are showing us the future, which is missiles. If you can put up, it's number five. It's got a map on the left and like a, yeah, that's it. All of our aircraft have, where they're being based now, they've been pushed from the close bases, like in Dubai, United Arab Emirates, Kuwait. They've, you know, right off the bat, Iran hit all of those bases. So now our aircraft are all the way back in Jordan and Israel. It takes them an hour. If they took off to launch a missile at Iran, it'll take them an hour, you know, to cross, you know, Jordan and Iraq, et cetera, to get close to Iran to launch a $4 or $5 million standoff weapon that we're running out of, okay, to just get to the launch point. Then turn around, have to refuel, so that refueler's got to be in the air, that big 707, a KC-135, it has to be out there in advance, ready to refuel that fighter, so it can make it back to its base in Jordan. So that's a, at best, 2-hour round trip to take off, fly at, you know, Mach 1 or Mach 1.5 to the launch point to launch one bomb, right, deep into Iran, because that plane can't fly over Iran because it would risk being shot down and the pilots might wind up on television as POWs. But as soon as those bombers, the refuelers and the attack planes are seen taking off from Jordan and Israel, Iran will know about it immediately, because the Iranians are sitting with Chinese and Russian satellite people looking at the same screens, sharing real-time information, people on the ground with cell phones. You know, at all of these bases, most of them are civilian military combined, but people live around them. As soon as aircraft en masse are landing or taking off, it's known. There's no more secrets like, you know, a big secret air attack. It worked on February 28th because it was literally a sneak attack. Nobody was expecting it. See you in Geneva on Monday. Okay, we'll see you. And then sneak attack, mainly with not aircraft flying over as much, Tomahawk missiles launched from ships and submarines, all time on target. But the follow-on air attacks require us to launch these JASMs and other standoff missiles from outside of Iranian airspace. But what happens after the first, you know, 20% of those aircraft have moved to their takeoff positions and they're in the air? The Iranian missiles can hit those bases in 10 minutes. Because they're going Mach 8, Mach 10. They're hypersonic. So our 20th century air armada has to get into the air, and it's a super complex choreography. The refuelers need some protection, so they've got to have fighters around them. The refuelers take off to get near the Persian Gulf, and then the fighter bombers are going to take off, launch their weapons when they're close to Iran, turn around, get a drink off of the tanker and return to Jordan. That is a super complex choreography. Everything has to work in phases. But what happens when 100 of these missiles, you know, 20 hit each of those bases as soon as they see this is a real attack? And we've got, you know, 50 aircraft in the air and 300 more aircraft ready to take off. And their runways are hit and cratered and pitted so that planes can't take off safely. They can't land. The ones that are already in the air don't have a runway to return to. And during the beginning of this war, and even last year in 2025 in the 12-day war, the Iranians, and I think some of these they did for demonstration purposes, remember they said at the beginning, we're going to use our old missiles first, our less capable ones, just to, you know, soak up a lot of Patriots and Thads, which I think they did. But they did do some demonstration hits where they had, we call them cluster munitions. It's not really accurate. It's a it's a submunition warhead, where the warhead, instead of a 1,000 kilogram unitary warhead, 80 submunitions fan out like a shotgun, like a shotgun pattern. When I saw that last year and early in this war, I thought that's for airfields. that is created for an American 20th century attack profile war air base, where we've got 50 aircraft parked on concrete. They're tight together because, as big as airfields are, they're not the whole desert. You can't push these things into the sand. The tires won't work there. So they're in known locations. The big air attack happens. Their hypersonic missile response comes in, and we're out of Patriots. And the Patriots now aren't working. Again, remember what I said about we used to consider the ballistic missile like a cannonball? Our Patriots and Thads were based on that fact that its profile flying through the air was very knowable. Their long-range radar, which most of them have been blown up by their cheap Iranian drones, the long-range radar networked by the big satellite uplinks, most of them were blown up too by their drones, can get an accurate picture of that ballistic trajectory so that the Patriot or Thad, the PAC-3 Patriot or the Thad, is like already aimed at that 1% of the sky, ready to intercept it. But the Iranians haven't just sat still while we're our whole defense has been what's called an active defense, meaning we're not going to protect our aircraft. They're just parked on the ground. And you can't build a hardened aircraft shelter for something that the size of a refueler. So they're just parked on the ground. And our defense was active defense. We'll just shoot down everything that's coming in. Well, that's not working anymore, because the Iranians have figured out how to make warheads that jink on the way in. They're still able to hit that, 10 or 20 meter circular error probability. But if they just make tiny course corrections on the way down, think about this. The warhead is coming down, if it's a unitary warhead, it's coming down at over 4 kilometers per second. Okay, that's 4,000 meters per second. So people that shoot varmint rifles and think, I got a 3,000 or 3,500 FPS varmint rifle, that's like super fast, that's nothing. That's like slow motion. These are coming down 4 kilometers a second. The Patriot has less than a second to calculate, the intercept point and hit the warhead coming in. That was hard enough. And now they move. They turn coming in. So, and they even have, on some of these, they have like a booster on the warhead itself to get it going like 5 kilometers a second coming in, which adds to the kinetic effect. So it's not just the 1,000 kilogram warhead hitting the ground. Even if it was 1,000 pounds of cement, it would have just as much power from the kinetic explosion of that much mass suddenly stopping. Like when a meteor hits the earth and creates a huge crater, it's because that much mass stopped turns into heat and energy. So you have the 1,000 kilogram warhead plus an extra 1,000 effective explosive of the hypersonic speed, and we have missiles that can't stop them. Can you put up number 2? It shows the F-35 over a mountain. That's our defensive capability has been based on active interceptors that cost millions of dollars each. Oh, here comes an Iranian missile. Maybe it's just an old one full of cement, and we are firing $5, $6, $7 million worth of Patriots at it that we can't replace. And maybe it hits the cement, or maybe the cement, and maybe it's a real warhead. We don't know. What Iran invested in is passive defense. Those missile cities, and that's just a diagram I put together. The missile cities are under a kilometer of granite. Okay, even a tactical nuke won't hit it. If you picture for a second a prairie dog colony with hundreds of little prairie dog tunnels, they don't have one exit for the prairie dogs where the badger or the hawk can just sit there and wait for the prairie dog to come out. The prairie dog colony has, 50 exits. So no matter where the hawk or the fox or the badger is, they can go out another way. That's how Iran has built these missile cities. It's not like going vertically down under Kansas. Because remember, Iran is 6 times bigger than Colorado, and it has mountains higher than Colorado, from sea level to 18,000 feet. You know, not from high plains to 14,000 feet. So picture 6 Colorados. Why did we put our strategic, the missile command, I forget what it's called, in like Cheyenne Mountain? It's because you can bore horizontally into it and make just a honeycomb that's surrounded by 1,000 meters of granite, bomb-proof, nuclear bomb-proof. So Iran mastered tunneling in granite. You know, you can picture these giant boring machines that just eat their way through a mountain. Once you master that, you can make missile cities that will last forever, much cheaper than you and faster than you can make Patriots and Thads, which are now countered and don't work. So why haven't we done the big attack? Why has Trump talked about maybe we'll do the big attack now? A few weeks ago, they hit a base in Jordan, and there was some video that came out of the troops running for cover. It's because I think that it's finally gotten through to Trump that, you know, if they try that, it's just not going to work. As soon as a quarter of our planes are launched, they're going to plaster our airfields in Jordan and Israel. And the aircraft that are in the air won't have a base to return to. And the disruption of the choreography, if a refueler doesn't get off the ground, there's fighters that run out of gas. The pilot has to eject because he's out of gas. He's over, you know, western or eastern Iraq desert. Or if he can't land because the runway is pitted, he's going to land in Turkey or Cyprus, you know, somewhere that there's just a runway, which means he can't be refueled, he can't be rearmed, the attack is over. And this is the 20th century coming against the 21st century. And I'm not trying to talk like, you know, I'm pro-Iran. I wish that regime was gone. But you have to respect your adversary. Going into World War II, we did not respect the Japanese. We denigrated them. We thought, you know, they were all shown as little buck-toothed monkeys with slant eyes and thick glasses. And it turns out they snuck aircraft carriers all the way across the Pacific. Don't have to like them, but you have to respect it. And our military was built for a different century. It was built to make billionaires out of all of these honchos that invest in Lockheed, Raytheon, and Boeing. It wasn't built to win 21st century wars. The Iranians, on a tiny budget, just a fraction of the budget, have not tried to build aircraft carriers, have not tried to build F-35s. They've built where their strength is, which is a defensive strength based on their geography. I don't think we're ever going back into the Persian Gulf. I think those bases are lost forever. And I think that in 10 years, we'll be completely gone from the Middle East. And there will be the maps will be completely redrawn. It'll be a completely new era. Anyway, I'm really glad for the opportunity to get on, and I didn't even show all of my maps. See, I've got my little cheat sheet of maps up here, and I only got through about half of them, but maybe next time. It's always enjoyable. Oh, and these books are on a Kindle free run, so if you go to my Amazon page, Matt Bracken, and you can download these books today till midnight. And I'll see you the next time that I get called to pinch hit on the Alex Jones Show. Bye-bye.
Started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
It kind of gives you like a boost of energy. It's not like an energy drink where you get the jitters or like you're just ready for the day and you're never going to sleep. It's more so like it clears the brain fog where you're actually, you know, able to focus more clearly.
You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible.
It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
With Methylene Blue, I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it. And let me tell you something, what a blessing.
It is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there. My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
What a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Unlimited power!
I'm not going to be like that.
Well, I'm like that normally. So.
Yeah, you are like that normally.
Unlimited fabulous power!
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.